The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
So after we take the mug shots, we bring them on down here where they wait to be interviewed by the arresting officer. Trust me, kids, you do not want to be sitting on these benches. We call this place Loserville.
PFW in Progress with Red Kirsch.
He's actually kind of funny.
Yeah, he needs one.
Is he all there? Like, mentally?
I think so. Just an odd guy. Kind of weird.
I mean, should we be worried?
No. Right. No.
Paul Perillo.
Don't forget your Rogaine.
Rogaine. Check.
And don't forget to use it. I can totally tell when you forget your hair just looks thinner.
Using of the Rogaine. Check.
And Andy. And Andy?
You have to park so close? Yeah, what's wrong? You shouldn't be here.
Andy Hart.
Why is that? I'm not supposed to be within 200 feet of a school.
What?
Or Chuck E. Cheese.
Eric Scalavino.
You guys might not know this, but I consider myself a bit of a loner. I tend to think of myself as a one-man wolf pack.
For now, anyway.
And 6 months ago, I thought, wait a second, could it be? And now I know for sure, I just added to my wolf pack. Four of us wolves. Running around the desert together, looking for strippers.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Hey guys, you ready to let the dogs out?
What?
Do what?
Let the dogs out. You know, like, ooh, let the dogs out. Ooh, ooh.
Yes, we are ready to let the dogs out.
Who let the dogs out?
All right, well, whoa, wow, that was hot, hot mic. Welcome to PFW in Progress. It is Thursday here at Gillette Stadium, and for all intents and purposes, training camp has started for the New England Patriots. Veterans reported today, even though NFL Network just had a scroll that they report tomorrow. But they are here today, and the captains.
A lot probably of, should say previously recorded if that's yesterday's.
Oh.
I'm hoping that's yesterday's.
A lot of the captains spoke today.
Says
Tom
lives.
Brady, Devin McCourty, Vince Wilfork, and who else?
Gerard Mayo.
Gerard Mayo spoke.
Although I think he was proud of himself. He said so little that he left long before the other three.
Well, he got the...
it's because he wasn't on the radio with us.
He got the interrogation...
This is the only time he ever talks.
He got the interrogation off of Hernandez in two questions.
Is that right?
Yes. Because I was with him to start. Andy went to McCourty to start. Eric was with Brady. And there was two Hernandez-related questions that he did not answer. He just said, I have no comment on that. We're moving on. Something to that effect. And then the third question was a football-related question.
Right.
And then there was about four or five more football-related questions, and most people left him because they didn't get what they were looking for.
And when McCourty was about half done, I looked over, and Gerard was going down the steps from the field, and he looked back, and he had a big smile on his face at the three large crowds still with the other players. He knew what he was doing.
All right, well, Andy's here. Eric's here. Paul's here. Eric's back from a little vacation.
Mm-hmm.
Looks all refreshed, ready to go.
Does he?
He's got four layers on.
It is a little chilly out.
I have a jacket and a shirt.
Oh, okay.
It's 66 degrees, Fred. It's not 85 like it's been.
Nothing underneath the shirt?
No.
Oh, okay. I thought you might
just
be wearing a
hairy ass chest.
No, I don't wear tank tops.
Earmuffs.
Oh, sorry. Earmuffs over there.
All right. And Kevin's in the booth. Webradio at patriots.com
what
is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline.
You're going to introduce our guest because I'm probably going to reference him a few times. So
Dan Heffron is here. Dan, famous for his annual Christmas poem.
PFW in Progress Poet Laureate.
How many of those
11?
Have you done?
12.
That's and you're gonna, so you're going to be in your own poem this year?
Possibly.
Nice.
Dan's here with his family. They're touring the Northeast. They've been to Hershey Park. They've been to Newton, Mass. They've been to Albany, New York.
What's in Newton, Mass?
Relatives.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh,
nice. You didn't go see Boston.
The way
College,
you said that,
right?
Hershey Park, which is a major,
yeah.
And then,
well, that's why
Newton,
I am.
Mass. Do they have a roller coaster in Newton, Mass?
Right. From here, they're going to Onset. I don't know.
Actually, Dartmouth.
But he's nice enough to stop by with his family, buy us lunch, which is the nicest part.
Yes, the best part.
Right.
And we're going to teach his son some new words.
Yeah.
Most appreciated.
All right.
Mom laughed at that. Wow, I got the open door there.
All right, yeah. So the big news, guys, is obviously Bill Belichick's press conference yesterday. I think more than most people expected.
Certainly.
Yeah.
I have not heard really a negative word about it.
He was more forthcoming than I thought he would be. I thought it was terrific.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of people say, well, you know, we haven't seen him this way before. But, well, we haven't had a guy accused of murder before. Right.
So, thankfully.
You know, this is kind of unprecedented for everybody. You know, a lot of people saying he showed his human side and all that stuff. And, look, when he's talking football, he doesn't show his human side. It's all about business. But I think there have been events in the past where he has. You know, we talked this morning, I think, when Marquise Hill died. I think that Bill was a little bit, showed some emotion in a couple of the press conferences talking about him. I think when Teddy Bruschi retired, I think he showed a little emotion. So it's
and
not
certainly
like,
when his own father passed away.
Yeah. So it's not like we haven't seen this from Bill. It's just that the occasion hasn't arisen where he needed to. And again, when it's football, he doesn't need to. He's here to coach football and win football games. And he does that rather well. So, you know, people looked at what he did yesterday with, you know, a microscope, as well they should. It was just an unprecedented event here. I mean, have we ever had a sports team in Boston have a active player be accused of murder? I don't think so.
Not that I'm aware of.
Yeah.
So I feel like I'd remember
I mean,
that.
There was you know, the only thing I can even think that would qualify is a vehicular homicide
right.
with Craig McTavish.
Yeah.
For the Bruins, maybe in the late 70s, early 80s.
Right.
But I can't think of anything like this.
Nothing that's come. So this is unprecedented. And and so, yeah, we did get to see something different out of Bill Belichick. As you know, I think it's not surprising, though, to me.
And as he said, I think the most telling open comment was this is football. This isn't football. This is real life.
Right.
And as you said, when he goes to the podium about everything else, practically, he's playing a character. Whatever, you know, he's executing a game plan of whatever is in the best interest of his football team. This is actually real life. You know, this is far beyond anything football related. And I thought he did a good job of carrying that out. And he needed
and
to.
Will
we
Fork,
talked about it. It was
Will
poor.
Fork reiterated that particular part. He used the same phrase. And I think he may even have said, you know, as Bill said, yesterday, because when I think the question that prompted that was, you know, what was your reaction to Bill yesterday? And I think you use the same kind of terminology, and it does tell you that that's why people are looking at it like, oh, it's different. Well, yes, because
yeah,
as
is.
You said, Fred,
right.
This is different.
Right.
This is real. And that's why I kind of felt like he needed to do it. You know, did he have to do it? No. Did he owe anything? No. But I think it was the right thing to do, and I think we all felt the same way. And, yeah, I'm a little surprised that he did as much as he did.
And I think the players followed suit today. I think they kind of took his lead yesterday in that you can't just totally ignore it and say we've moved on, we're looking at the football, and not address it. They talked about the human side of it, but obviously when specifics came up about, you know, the matters related directly to the case or
right.
those kind of things, they naturally, you know, diverted, you yeah. know, their answers to other things. But
as they should.
As they
because you don't want to end up
should.
In the crosshairs of an attorney or
but
a
I was,
subpoena.
I was a little bit, I guess, pleasantly surprised that they went on and took as many questions as they did.
Yeah. You know, and I think, Paul, you're right. I mean, this is a big deal. I mean, not the just the event, but the Patriots – to a lot of fans, it's a big deal. They have a vested interest, whether they're a season ticket holder or just someone who, you know, spends money on Patriots merchandise. Patriots are a big deal for a lot of people. That
well, we have.
That,
I mean, there's right. an 8-year-old with a hat and a jersey over
right.
there. Well, if you screw this up, I'm thinking the parents might not be as comfortable. If yeah, who cares?
We right.
There. So there's a certain beyond sure. what we talked about. It's the brand. It's the logo.
Sure.
It's the idea.
I mean, for a lot of people, that authentic jersey that they get for Christmas is the big present.
Right.
You know? And
for the record, he's wearing a Tom Brady jersey
yeah,
today.
Yeah. You know, so,
good choice.
So, you know, it is a big deal. And I don't think he had to do it, but I think it was the right thing to do. And he did the right thing.
But he also felt he needed to do
right.
it.
Right.
I mean, that was early, second sentence.
First line.
Or first line.
First line.
You know, felt like he needed to do it. So.
Yeah.
You know, I thought it was funny, and, you know, I can't, you know me, I can't help myself from being, you know, my little media checklist. You know, the people, and there was less media, it was more the people making fun of us for saying that we think he'll talk, we think he should talk. He doesn't owe you guys anything. He shouldn't talk. It doesn't help him win games. He shouldn't talk. And in the first line, the very first line, I'm going to address the Aaron Hernandez situation today, and which, by the way, a lot of people thought he wouldn't even say Aaron Hernandez.
Right.
First line, I'm going to address it in, I felt like it was important to do this prior to training camp. He felt like it was important to do.
And I actually I think it helps him win games because I think it closes the door on it. It allows him to close the door on it.
Right.
And that's good towards building toward the regular season.
It absolutely helps him win games.
What
I agree with you.
Yesterday was in the best interest of the team.
Correct. On and off the field, I would say.
Yeah. And
the brand needed it, but I think the team needed it. It gives closure. It allows a line of demarcation or whatever they call it. Okay, that was pre-Bill talking was one. Now we've moved on.
Yeah, and we talked about it at the time, and we said, you know, if you do it and you do it quote unquote right, then you can legitimately on Friday say, we've moved on. We're moving forward. This is football now. We addressed that. We're done with that. And you can do it, with a leg to stand on, you know, because you actually have addressed it. And I think they gave more than I was even anticipating, more than I think they had to. I applaud them for it. I think it was obviously not an easy thing for Bill to do yesterday. I thought he was great. And now I do think that you can sort of turn the page. You're not being callous by turning the page. You know, I think Vince said today.
Well, it is their job. They have to.
Right. I think the way Vince said it today was that we recognize the seriousness of it, and I'm paraphrasing. We recognize the seriousness of it, but at the same time, we're football players, and this is our business.
Right.
And they have to play football starting tomorrow.
Tweets I saw that we don't want to disrespect the family.
Yeah. Oh no, he said all the right things. Yeah. All the disclaimers mm-hmm. that needed to be said, he said. But he said at the same time, this is a business, and we're football players, and tomorrow they're going to have their pads. And I talked, you know, I was asking Mayo some questions about, you know, because I told you that he didn't really get into any Hernandez stuff. So I was just talking to him one-on-one about some of the things. And he goes, you know, those are probably better questions once we get into camp a little bit. And I said, well, let me know when I can talk to you because I want to ask you those. And, you know, but that's what they're looking forward to tomorrow to get into it and whatnot.
And I thought Dan Wetzel did a great job this morning talking about the whole distraction, because I don't really buy the distraction thing. This is their job. And if they were in any other line of business, they would have already had to go back to, you know, if something happens to you, Fred, I don't get a month or what, you know, you get maybe a day, at most a week, and you're back to work. It's business.
Right.
You know, we got to keep up if you're on the assembly line and the guy next to you, who you may have been 20 years, you may have stood next to him putting the same screw in the same car. If he does something crazy, they're going to let you know. You'll find out. You might get the rest of the day off and then.
Right.
Back to work.
Back to work.
We have to keep up production.
And you know what I thought was interesting, too, is, you know, we said, like, how it's real life and it goes so much beyond football. But even today, how they answered the questions. Like, someone asked Brady, and I'll go to Eric for the actual answer because I didn't hear the whole thing. They asked him about, can you almost take something like this and have it work in your favor? Paraphrasing the question a little bit, can a tragedy like this bring a team together and help you sort of get past the distraction? The distraction like this helps you in the long run. And normally you'd think the team would be like, absolutely, it's us against the world, we band together. And Tom, he was like, no, it's not really something like that we're looking to have any glue with.
Yeah.
And I think he put it,
right,
the only way that we're going to get past, I forget exactly the quote, I actually tweeted it, but the only way we can, our fate is in the hands of the players in this locker room or something like that.
The fate,
on the contrary, if they start the season on a bad note, it could add, you know.
Right. This was the question that I think it was Tom Curran's question.
Yes,
about
that's the one I'm thinking of.
Are you personally hurt by the brand being besmirched at all by what's happened? The brand that you've worked so hard to build. And he said, the fate of our season is going to be determined by the guys in the locker room. Hopefully nothing else. That was the direct quote.
I thought that was, you know, he wasn't willing to take that sort of rallying cry, because this is not a rallying cry.
No.
This is not the same as Spygate.
Right.
It's not something that you band around.
There's no glass half full when a guy loses his life.
Yeah. You know, there's no way you can look at it that way.
He also said,
that's interesting.
He also said, we know we have to work hard to reestablish what we're all about, and that's about winning football games.
Yeah.
So they acknowledge that, you know, obviously the from a business standpoint, the brand has taken a huge
Freddie, you brought up something that's interesting too, though, about once the season starts. This is over for now. I don't think there's going to be a ton of Hernandez hanging over them in training camp. But if you get into September and into October and the offense is struggling like crazy, the murder investigation isn't the story, but the absence of Hernandez in the offense is a story.
Yeah, and Welker will be too. But it's
And Welker too.
It's
absolutely
the combination. They'll look at the overall picture of what happened to the offense in the offseason. Webradio at Patriots.com, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Brent in Illinois writes in, so fellas, did you see Florio spouting off on Twitter saying how Belichick was using a bunch of words to say nothing? He's a tool. And now that the Hernandez stuff is behind us, are the players doing the conditioning run today? Yes. I think they already have.
Yes.
Yeah. A lot of them did right before we were able to talk to the captains. Yeah.
Were they?
Now, the captains weren't.
No?
I think they might have done theirs earlier.
Captains don't have to run it.
Oh, okay.
I'm kidding.
Yeah,
of course they have.
Florio
to
also like kind of made fun of us yesterday, saying
Florio's
a dude. We're a bunch of talking
bad
heads
guy.
Paid by the team.
A dude.
Well, I think that it's good for him to mention us because if we mention him back, it helps people find out what he's doing over there and helps his ratings.
Drives traffic
to him.
And then people will realize he's a fraud and a DB and used to have some sort of spine.
So I can see why he would want us to mention him to help people watch his show.
I didn't see him on Twitter because I'm blocked because he's the most sensitive dude on the planet.
Well, it's funny.
Well, we're in the pocket of the Patriots. That's true. They pay our check. He's in the pocket of the whole league, but somehow that's okay with If you get paid by everybody, then, I guess you're in everybody's pocket. That's okay. But we're only in the Patriots' pocket, so that's...
He really is.
There's a lack of
equity. I know we don't
want
to talk about it, but he is really... We're talking about sellouts. Maybe the all-time greatest sellout. Because he started something that was intended to go against, conformity and big meat.
Well, not necessarily always be neutral.
Right.
Always be
and he has completely sold out.
Right.
So, how does he sleep at night?
Well...
Probably on a very nice bed.
Right. With a lot of money in his bank account.
In a very nice home.
Right. There's a lot of wars going on here. There's a morning sports talk radio war going on in Boston between EEI and 98.5, which is really fun.
I'm hoping someone gets fired out of it,
And then it goes back to your show, show that you guys
do. They hate
do.
Each other.
There's all kinds of fighting going on and people Love yelling
it.
And ratings.
It was an epic fight the other night between Gary Tanguay and Kirk Minahan.
Yeah.
Kirk Minahan is on EEI in the morning show.
About Belichick.
It was about whether or not Belichick should talk.
Right.
And, it was a screaming match about
it? Oh, my God.
Screaming.
It was
about as unprofessional as you can be on TV.
An embarrassment of biblical proportions.
It went viral.
Really?
Yeah.
Two guys that were so unlikable, I declared it. I ran Iraq.
In this particular
fight.
I like Gary, too.
I love Gary, personally.
Yeah,
he did not come off well.
Neither of them came off well on that one.
No.
Yeah, that was really bad.
Was Gary he doesn't know what's anything?
Note about that.
Camp?
Why would I
because
do?
Because I can see you falling into that same
thing.
No.
I have
some intelligence and some class.
You're one of the kings of just shouting over people.
No.
Well, that's only here. Not on real things.
On our PFW show, people...
That's what we do.
It's
waste management trash talk.
That's trash talking, Fred. And
it's
that's
supposed
why,
to be down Fred, in the dumpster.
And that's why I win every week.
Yeah.
Because I'm able to rationally express my thoughts and opinions.
Right. So you be careful.
I'm fine with it. I'm very comfortable
Andy just
with
yells
I am
at me.
And what I do.
Right.
One trick pony. You just yell at me.
And people love it.
They do love it.
You always yell at him.
Well, some people love
everybody. Everybody in the North Shore says, "How come you don't kill that guy?" And everybody on the South Shore says, "Why are you always beating up on that
South
kid?
Coast?"
Sorry,
not South Shore, South Coast.
Not as classy as the South Shore.
John wants to know if we're on today. He can't hear the show.
Nope, we're not. So
does
John,
that mean you,
stop listening.
You are unable to hear the show, or you're trying to hear the show and you can't hear?
Put your hearing aid in, you old coot.
It's like somebody tweeted yesterday. Where can I listen to the Bill Belichick?
And you tweeted anywhere.
Press conference on iPhone. Pretty much anywhere you want.
I'd be careful with that guy. He tweets a lot, and I think he's a little off. He scares me.
Is that
which
right?
Guy?
Dick Gritz. That's his name. I mean, that says
Dick Gritz. What it says on the
And he's got a weird photo, and he kind of scares me.
It is a really weird photo.
I don't think
photo.
He follows me.
If I were like Florio and just blocked everybody,
actually,
I would block him.
He didn't mention Paul in that tweet.
Yeah, I don't know that guy. I don't think he follows
it's
me.
It's probably
really
good for you.
It's a really weird photo of it looks like he's in front
somebody
of
after
a
the
key or something, but
somebody after the press conference yesterday just went off on Bill. I don't know if you was it Mann, Thomas Mann or something like that. Just like had 8 or 10 tweets in a row about how bad he is drafting. Thomas
Terrible.
Mann, maybe.
No, you say he's very, very good.
He's so bad. He built such a bad
team. Is that very, very good draft?
I don't know how they win 14
I can't
games.
Find them anymore, but he was just killing Belichick.
Has that very, very good drafting taken
a
hit
lot
in the last month or so?
A lot of people that, insisted he has to. All they wanted him to do was squirm. They wanted to see him squirm.
Do you think
that's
it was a bad
why
pick?
They, you know,
no.
Do you think it was a very, very good pick?
Well, I don't know if you can go a very, very good pick.
Do you think it was a very
in light
good.
Of recent events?
Do you think it was a very good pick?
It was a good pick.
Okay, so. Why don't you get to the bottom
your
line?
Your very varies are what
why don't you get to the bottom line? You're splitting hairs with the
Belichick
amount of adjectives that I use.
Is a good drafter. Yeah, very, very good.
I think he's a very good drafter.
Well, you said very, very before. Okay. You dropped a very.
Okay. We can go on like this. I'm going to go on a Fred-like rant on you. We can just split hairs over the adjectives that I use.
Well,
and that's
you
fine.
Two are the kings.
You just don't let anybody talk.
You're the kings of splitting hairs.
That is true.
Alex is listening live in Scotland. He says, hey, men of PFW, listening on my iPhone app live for the first time.
In his kilt.
Anyway, just wanted to let you guys know how much I love and appreciate the show, and sometimes you even answer me on Twitter. With regards to Bill in the press conference yesterday, I thought it was a classy and well-timed move, and as he always preaches, it was in the team's best interest. Now let's get back to football. In terms of pure speculation, if the Patriots pulled off a blockbuster trade for a wide receiver, which one in the NFL would you guys like to see?
Calvin Johnson.
Right.
Thank you.
No or Larry Fitzgerald.
Calvin Johnson.
Once again, thanks for the show. Get the international phone line working. I love
to throw a new one into the mix. Julio Jones. Wouldn't mind seeing him. Calvin Johnson would be my number one pick, though.
Wes Welker.
And that's why they hate him. Eric, I mean, not Wes Welker.
For 1 year minimum good, veterans though. Contract, would you sign Randy Moss?
No.
Okay.
I know a lot of people. A lot of people want to. A lot of people want to get him or T.O. or Brandon Lloyd. I don't have any interest in any of those players.
Let's go to the Ace Ticket Hotline. Chris is in Rhode Island. Hey, Chris.
How's it going, gentlemen?
It's going good.
All right, I got some news for you guys. Ian Rappaport tweeted that John Abraham was visiting the Cardinals.
Oh.
Tell me, what are the odds of us still signing him?
Well, it doesn't sound good because he's actually in his second day and met with the owners, apparently, and dinner. And
90 men on the roster.
Being wined and dined. It's not good, Fred.
Nope.
For those of you who believe it's a done deal, he's already here.
It is. Did you say it isn't?
It isn't good.
And they added Eric Winston yesterday, so they're at the point apparently where they're like signing the veterans or whatever. That's not good.
No.
Not good multi-day visits with other teams if you think he's still coming here.
Mark Anderson now out there as one of those veteran pass rushing types, obviously had success here.
Bring him back as a guy who could get 10 sacks.
Yeah. Not a 10 sack guy, but a guy that could get 10 sacks.
In all seriousness, he was cheap. He got overpaid for a year. He made some ridiculous amount of money for 1 year in Buffalo.
Got hurt.
And bring him back now. Yeah. Damaged goods, same kind of prove-it contract. Boom, I'll take him.
How much worse would you feel if it were Mark Anderson that they signed instead of Abraham?
Significantly.
I thought
Mark Anderson was overrated when he was here, when he got the 10 sacks.
I agree. I was just
he
asking
picked
the question.
Up Andre Carter's sloppy seconds.
And I think I gave you my how like, I felt when like I said, how much worse would you feel?
Significantly.
Okay.
Yeah, the only hope is that's kind of like what it is. If you had to choose between Andre Carter and Mark Anderson, you get Carter.
You'd have to hope that he picks up
Carter is a better
Chandler Jones's
sloppiness. Yeah. And he excites me in no way. I would just add him as depth. I would add him so that I'm further from having to play Jermaine Cunningham or Jake Beckett.
And don't forget,
that's all I'm adding. A body in the middle there.
He would slot into the role that he started that season, the 11 season, until they had injuries and he had to play full time.
Which he would likely have to do again. I mean, good chance either Ninkovich or Jones is going to get banged up at some point. You'll need another starter.
What else you got, Chris?
Wow, you're awfully negative. Good chance they're going to get
Chandler Jones played 1 year in the league.
Thanks for the call,
he got hurt. He came out of college hurt. So he's probably going to be hurt.
Well, I don't know, but if you read our training camp preview, we put an awful lot of eggs in the Chandler Jones basket.
Which is why, Paul, I'm picking 10 wins and trending to 7.
Nine. I'm going with 12 because I think the defense is irrelevant.
11.5. I did a radio thing last night, and they were doing Vegas stuff, and I guess the Vegas is 11.5 for wins.
Oh.
I take the under.
For the Patriots?
Yeah. Now, the Vegas
And I
thing,
really like that half they're giving me, so I can get the 11.
Well, you have to go with the half.
No, I know.
That's what they do, but... And I'm not going to use that as a point of
you
my...
You take the over.
No, Andy, want to bet?
No, I would take the over because I am picking 12.
Well, you can have a tie.
But I'm not using that as my...
Is that a push? How does that work?
If what?
Is 11 it, and is a half it purely wins? Wins?
If you get a tie. Yeah, no.
It's just wins.
Yeah, no, he said.
Yeah, no.
So, which
so you said yeah.
Is it yeah or no?
Andy's right.
You want to bet? You want to bet a lunch on it? I'll take the under, you take the over. A January lunch.
Sure, 11.5.
Boom, I got the under.
Sure, we got it. We're on.
Okay, that sounds
boom.
Like
you're,
a good
you're gonna have to wait 3 years for that lunch.
Oh, shut up.
Well, who do you still owe a lunch
him.
To?
I don't even remember why, and I'm not even sure I do. But so he said
he's still working here. You said he would be
11 months.
I didn't know you couldn't get fired or removed from this place. If ineptitude was a reason for moving on,
a lot of other people would beg to disagree with you.
Keep it up, you'll find out.
Dan, just so you know, in person, that's the when Fred's really happy with himself, he gives it one of these.
He gives it the side thing.
Pat's in Agawam, Mass. Good afternoon, crew. I have to say more than anything else, yesterday was a different side of Belichick I've seen since he's been the head coach. I held the opinion as a fan that he owed me no explanation for the whole Hernandez situation, but I understand the dichotomy of speaking to the fans and explaining things to the media. The one thing I took away more than anything else is he exhibited great leadership. He flat out held himself accountable and was visibly embarrassed and contrite, in my opinion. He handled the press conference top-notch and said everything he needed to say to avoid having to answer questions throughout the season and put this whole mess behind them. I know I joked about joining the Browns fan club and expressed my worry about this being the one distraction that affects this regime. That was all put to rest yesterday for me. I think this is opening up and explaining in some detail his feelings and his accountability. He may have called off the proverbial dogs with the media. I'm sure questions will be asked to him and the team throughout the season, but it won't be the primary focus of every prestitute that passes through Foxborough. I think this team will galvanize through this, and the chip is back on their shoulder finally. It's a shame that it happened the way it did, but that's on the punk Aaron Hernandez, not on this team and his organization. Thank you again for being the greatest source of information for my favorite sports team. You all rock, and talk to you next week when training camp will be in full swing. Patrick from Agawam.
He made a good point. Bill has often used the, ultimately, it's my responsibility, whether it's the play calling, anything.
How about after every loss?
But he did it yesterday in a much more believable way where you go,
I couldn't agree more.
He really is taking, you know, he means it, that ultimately it's he brings everybody in here. And that was the key, is the way he delivered it. Not what he said, but how he was able to deliver it.
But I even think that, and I agree with you, I thought it was very believable. But even if he didn't really believe it, the fact that he did it in such a high-profile thing, it's easy to say after a loss, you know, we just got to coach better.
Right.
Well, okay, no one's really going to kill, you know, this is something that's really important, and he's taking the blame for
right.
it. You know, that's not an easy thing to do, to get up there and say, ultimately, I'm responsible for a guy who is involved in a murder investigation. That's not easy.
Right.
And I agree with Andy. I thought he did it. Not only he did it, but he did it in a very believable fashion when he said that yesterday. I'm the head coach, and primarily I'm responsible for the players that come into this program. You know, that's not an easy thing to say.
Talking about moving forward with, you know, moving beyond it, the only people I'm not sure can close the door on it, or basically one, is Tim Tebow. I think he's a guy that at whatever point he talks, people are going to say, you know, Urban Meyer reportedly made you Aaron Hernandez roommate on the road to be his safety net, to help guide him, to, you know, put good people around him. I think Tim Tebow is going to be asked questions.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I think they're legitimate questions. You know, to a lesser degree, Brandon Spikes for just being on the same team. But I think Tebow is going to... I almost feel like Tebow should have talked today to really get it out of the way. But, I mean, I guess that would have been a distraction. I don't know. But to me, Tebow was still sort of in the crosshairs of questioning.
Yeah, remember when Tebow and Brandon Spikes not showing up for OTAs was the big news?
Right.
Geez, I'd like to go back to those days.
A little piece of news. While we were interviewing the players or getting on the field to interview the players, Julian Edelman was doing some working out there. So I thought that was...
With some other guy that we didn't recognize.
With some other guy, yeah. I don't have any idea who it was.
But that's going to be a theme for this year, is trying to get used to who... there's so many new players on this team.
Yeah.
More so, it seems, than other off-seasons.
Armin Armstead?
Well, they will be wearing
wasn't
numbers
big enough?
No. For training camp. Yes? No?
Well, I assume...
What did you say?
Numbers for training camp? I assume they're going to be wearing
uniforms?
They better be.
I would assume, yes.
I hope so, because otherwise...
Yeah, forget it with attendance.
Because I think that this is, you know...
Not just attendance, but who's doing what?
Yeah, that's I know.
Yeah, that was a great catch by...
That guy.
Yeah, I understand attendance is, you know, something that it's a staple of our coverage that we do, but I don't care about that anywhere near as much as Like, people ask me questions about the wide receivers. You know, who's, you know, which of the young wide receivers is standing out? And I can't really give you an accurate.
Boys, because he wasn't out there.
Because I don't know. I don't know which guy
is.
He was
on a bike. He was easy to
find. Amendola. Yes. He stood out.
But, as long as we're on the injured kick and I had my little Ballard rant on the media, the very next day he, evidently passed his physical back out there.
So
I ate a little crow there. But I do think that part of the reason why he failed the physical in the first place was obviously the knee. And I don't think he was running very well, and I stand by that assessment. But good news that he was able to get himself through that pre-camp physical process the next day. My guess is a little bit of a conditioning run might have had something to do with that.
Dan writes in, personally, I think Bill said just about everything that needed to be said. The stuff about his relationship with Robert seemed a little hammed, but nobody can say he refused to comment on the non-legal issues. Now we can move on to camp. Speaking of which, I'm planning on heading up with Harriet on Friday. Just curious how early I should plan on showing to avoid huge lines and traffic. Well, practice starts at 9, so I'd get here at 4.
Fred will meet you here.
He's such a jerk.
No, the they're going to open the gates at 8:15 to get down there. So, I mean, once they open those gates, it moves pretty fast. But that's when they're going to open the gates.
Yeah, it's, the earlier the better to get here if you want to avoid. I mean, traffic. There's always traffic on the first few days of camp.
Yeah. Our lunch bet. We step it up a little bit. You know, a nice place, or no?
What do you mean by a nice?
Davio's lunch at the bar is good.
Sure. I'm going to win, so I don't care.
Well, you're feeling confident.
Why is
I like
he so
this.
Arrogant?
I like this.
Why
book.
Is he so arrogant?
Because he's Andy Hart.
Okay.
But you're feeling really confident.
That's why they hate him.
More than 11 wins.
I think they're going to win 12. Do I feel like there's no way they could win 11? No. I mean, they could win 11. But I have a lot of faith in the two guys at the top, Belichick and Brady. With my luck,
they always find a way.
With my luck and Andy's luck, you know, something will happen to Brady this year, and they won't win 12 games.
Does that have to be a stipulation in the?
No, no.
What?
Oh,
what, Paul? What?
ESPN. Oh no, why are you doing that?
What? What are they saying?
The ticket.
There's a ticket for
remember
the
that
season
I told
ticket.
You yesterday.
That.
No, I know we knew it.
Yeah. We don't need it on SportsCenter or whatever. Yeah, SportsCenter.
Well, for those that don't know what we're talking about, season ticket packages went out to fans earlier in the week. And
employees.
I guess the first ticket, it's the ticket for the
in-season practice,
in-season
on
practice
Monday night.
Monday night.
Yeah.
In the background is Aaron Hernandez. So I know that they tried to eliminate his image from as many things as they could, but
some things were already at the printer and some things couldn't be corrected.
Right. So, okay. Whatever.
I mean, everybody's. Did you see Florida today took some brick out that had his all celebrating his All-American?
And then Albert Breer had a curious tweet about that. You know, he was talking about how they did that. And he goes, something about this is just rubbing me the wrong way.
Yeah, I didn't get that either. The only thing I could think of was teasing him again, the Urban Meyer thing. Well, Urban Meyer is the one who brought Aaron Hernandez there. So, you know, he loves Urban Meyer because he's at Ohio State now.
Maybe like, is O.J. Simpson, is he in, like, the Ring of Honor in Buffalo or whatever?
I think they took him down.
He's still in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, he's in the Hall of Fame. Yeah.
I think he is still in the Ring of Honor.
Is he still up there?
I think so.
I know that they, because they used to have pictures of him in the press box, you know, on the wall.
Yeah.
I think they took those down.
That is easy.
Yeah.
That's understandable. But no, the Ring of Honor, I think, is a major.
Stuff, I think, is easy to fix.
I'm pretty sure he still is in the Ring of Honor.
Yeah. As I kind of think he should be. He was a Hall of Fame football player long before he became a psychotic
killer.
You know,
it's funny. Hernandez had his hearing. We didn't mention that yesterday, which was then.
For which he was acquitted.
Moved to August.
Not Hernandez.
No.
OJ.
OJ.
You know, so Hernandez's lawyers were on the steps afterwards, upset that they had moved this probable cause thing to August. And they said, you know, we are going to prove that our client had nothing to do with this murder.
They want to expedite him going to jail for the rest of his life.
You just wonder, I mean, is there a chance?
No.
That he had nothing to do with it?
Well,
no.
I personally don't think there's a chance.
No.
Well, there's always a chance. We just talked about it. O.J. Simpson got off. There's always a chance he can get off.
No chance.
But I don't think there's a chance that he wasn't involved in it.
Yeah.
Now, whether or not he actually pulled the trigger, I think that's probably open for debate.
Sutter is like the worst what is he, district attorney ever, and like follows no proper procedures, or I just don't
right,
see.
Which is how OJ got off basically, because it wasn't necessarily.
But what are the chances that happens twice?
No, I know, but it wasn't necessarily that the case wasn't strong enough. It was the manner in which they compiled all right. the evidence wasn't proper, and they got off on technicalities.
Yeah, no chance.
Scott writes in, I'm so freaking jacked that football's back. Been wanting to email in for a while, but wanted to wait until you were all back. Just want to say, Paul, you have been on fire recently. You've carried the show while Fred was off.
That's
and
true.
I missed you last week. Eric was a competent replacement for Fred, but I hate B-Lo. On to football. With training camp looming, I'm interested in who you guys are looking forward to seeing. One rookie on offense and defense.
Rookie on offense Dobson. And defense, we're looking forward to it. It's got to be Dobson on
I'd
offense.
I'd say Boyce.
Yeah, but I kind of fall into your line on Boyce now. Like, I was really excited about him, and then he did nothing all offseason.
Yeah, but that's why I'm excited. So I haven't seen him do anything.
So I lowered the bar.
I saw Dobson. I didn't see any, like, he didn't stand out special.
No, he wasn't wow, but I think he'll be more.
Maybe Boyce will wow me. Maybe Boyce will just run right by a slot corner, and I'm going, jackpot.
And I'm hoping that the answer on defense is Collins. I'm hoping he gets opportunities.
Not Beauharnais.
The Beauharnais.
Logan Ryan's a close second for me, though.
Logan Ryan, I'm
Logan
intrigued
Ryan,
by.
I think, is going to be a solid, you know, in the mix depth defensive back. I think Jamie Collins might be a guy who might, he's not going to play a lot. I don't think there's any scenario, barring a rash of injuries, that he plays a lot. But I'm hoping that when we see him out there, you're going to be like, wow, he flashes. Every time we see him, he's coming off the edge. Or every time we see he's involved, he's doing something.
Armstead doesn't come in. I mean, I know he's on PUP right now.
I don't really count him. But yeah. That if he counts, then he's my guy.
Well,
he's a rookie.
He's a first-year player, technically. But
he's a rookie, yeah.
No, well, I you're right. I mean, technically.
I still don't know. Can he win rookie of the year or no?
Well, he's considered a first-year player. So
I don't
think
know what that means.
There's a difference between a rookie and a first-year player. You know that.
No, I know that.
He has professional experience.
Right.
But I don't think that a first-year player can win rookie of the year.
I think that counts as rookie of the year. No.
The other rookies are lucky.
But I'm not going to be definitive about it because I don't know.
So all those guys.
We just don't know.
We
just don't know.
Guys like Vinatieri could never have been a rookie because they played.
No, he was a rookie his first year.
I thought he played in the Europe League. That's
minors.
That was like, yeah.
You get paid.
Kind of with Fred. CFL's minors, too.
Well, yeah, it is, but it isn't.
But the NFL Europe is a minor league for the NFL.
Exactly.
It was a feeder thing.
The Canadian
football.
It is, but it's a minor
league. I would argue
league.
That the CFL is not a minor league for the NFL. Like,
just like in baseball.
Not that many people
guys
actually make the jump back.
Exactly. Or New Britain.
When you
when
come,
they
up
come up
to
Boston,
when you come to the pros, okay. You've gotten paid, but you come up to the pros.
I guess they make that distinction. True.
Yep. I'm with you.
Now, technically.
CFL's a minor league, too.
But technically, you're right. That and he's a, even if you want to consider the CFL whatever you know he's a first year player.
Right.
He was only 1 year. It's not like he's been around for 10 years and he's like Ichiro, you know, who comes in from Japan and wins rookie of the year after being a 10 year pro.
Terry's in D.C. Happy to write that I am making the trip to training camp tomorrow. I know practice starts at 9. Do you have a sense as when the practice will break up? Technically, it's 11:30.
11:30.
Also, will you guys be in the tent? I'd be nice to say hello, but I understand if you're busy working and would prefer not to cross the velvet ropes, Andy.
Well, Paul will be there to talk to you.
Well, I don't know if it's the same setup as last year because the fans couldn't get around.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
They've moved the tent, and
that's
it is
the same
as last year.
Okay.
So we're not on that side now. We're on the other side of the bleachers.
Nice.
Paul, you're a little confused.
I'm confused.
I don't know how you could be.
Remember last year?
You don't remember that
they moved the tent
to the
other
side
of the bleachers?
We're over with the celebrity tent.
We're
over with Giselle.
I understand what you're saying now. I thought you meant the other side of the field.
No,
I get what. Yes, I understand now. I get it. The other side of the VIP bleachers.
Bleachers. Yes.
When you were saying the bleachers,
you
I was thinking
you meant the side.
Oh
of the
no,
bleachers.
Not the big bleachers, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
I get it.
Christian with a T I A N writes in. Did you hear that? Do you?
As opposed to
Christian with a
CYQ.
Okay, you're stepping on his email. I'll start again. He says, did you hear that? Do you? No, not the sound of Andy's mother moaning. It's the
wait a minute.
Of
earmuffs.
Training camp.
Earmuffs.
Finally, football is back. Has this not been the most...
She feels sick to her stomach. She's a little under the
has
weather.
Has this not been the most draining and longest offseason ever? I'd say so, although...
No, it went pretty quickly for us.
The 08
it's been very short. Draining,
too.
Yes.
I was very happy Belichick spoke yesterday. As a fan, I needed to hear him speak. I heard it on my phone and then watched on Comcast last night. He came across great, and I echo the sentiments of many that felt the same way. I'll be honest, I don't think he had it in him, but as Fathead would say, son of a bitch, I don't think he had it in him. I can't wait for your
again,
training camp
earmuffs.
Coverage to tell me how bad Jenkins, Ballard, Mallett, and Tebow suck. All right.
No, you can get all that expert analysis. Peeved. You can get that balanced analysis at Pro Football Talk if you're looking to find out how bad Michael Jenkins is.
No, you can't.
Oh. I mean, we talk about that here?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Fred, what did you say was the reason was that he should have been happy?
Who,
Florio.
Florio?
Yeah. You know, he was looking to get the press conference streamed, and
right.
We wanted him, instead he had his listeners go to patriots.com.
Right.
Which you said helped him out, didn't
it? Well, it helps out his ratings anytime we mention him.
Right.
You know?
So we're talking about him to get, give him a little boost.
Sure. Sure.
He's really not allowed to. Weren't other people?
No.
If they did, they did it illegally. The league rules, and of course we
are
benefit from it and are happy to enforce it, but they are league rules, is that online, any outlet can only use up to 90 seconds of video per day. You know, and obviously.
Oh, but audio is fair.
I think audio's okay.
Because
I
know EEI and 98.5 were doing the whole press conference
audio.
They
played it live.
Yeah, it has to do
no,
with
but
video.
Also, afterwards, they had it on their website to listen to the audio again, archived.
Right.
But okay, it's video. Yeah. That's what he was bitching about?
Yeah.
Sorry.
But all the other places, I mean, the Globe and Herald, they're under the same restrictions. They couldn't do it either. I'm sure they all wanted to stream it live yesterday, too.
Yeah, but everybody has whiny little babies like him.
Exactly,
who
point.
Pretended they used to be big tough guys.
Tyler.
Wouldn't you love to just hear about him getting his butt whooped by somebody? Some player is just like, you know what? Get over here. You play a bad guy on the. But
yeah,
let's
but
see if
you're
bad. He's
not bad anymore. He doesn't
That's
do
true.
That anymore.
You're right. He's gone soft. The biggest sellout on the planet.
You know? He doesn't do
I knew
all
I
that
could get
stuff
Andy wound
anymore.
Up on this.
I mean, I think he runs a good site.
Andy, what about Terry Bradshaw?
He's still alive, despite reports on that website to the contrary. Still alive, still doing games for Fox.
If you're looking for, all the latest NFL news, I think he does a good job.
He does a good job just, regurgitating what everybody else does.
But that's
in all seriousness, I loved his site until he became part of the NFL. And I'm not being, a wise ass now. I'm saying I really loved what he did, and now I don't think he has anywhere near the edge that he used to have.
Right. Or the credibility. At least before you thought he's going to take shots at everyone. He is going to pick apart everyone.
And I
now you know he
but
does
But I thought
not.
It was fair. I didn't think he was just one of those guys that was ripping everybody for the sake of ripping people. I thought he was calling people out when it called for it. Now it seems like every media guy, cites him. He's mainstream. So, right. He doesn't rip even, the media. Like, I used to like when he would rip the media
right.
in the past. It
now
seems
he
like
just rips us.
Now he knows everybody. So, yeah. Maybe it's because, he doesn't know us. So he... we can still rip him. You should probably introduce yourself to him, and then he'll stop ripping us, too.
Or maybe the opposite.
I'm fine with it.
I'll go
toe-to-toe with him any day.
Tyler
He's
says,
a skinny little twerp.
Well, I don't know if physical attributes
he's a tough,
have anything to
no,
do
I'm
with it.
No, I'm saying...
He's not on the juice leg.
He wanted to pick a fight when I was ripping him about Terry Bradshaw. Okay, let's pick a real fight. Let's go. Toe-to-toe. He's a big tough guy on the internet. Let's go. Because he pretends he's the biggest tough guy.
Okay.
He's this Italian Gambino, I'm a badass lawyer. Well, whatever. You're an idiot.
I don't know why you have to make fun of Italians. I'm sitting right
Sorry.
Here.
Sorry.
We're the only ones, Paul.
Yeah,
right?
I'm telling you. The only people you can still get away with making fun of
right.
the Italians.
And the fats.
And the Catholics.
Tyler, I'll be attending.
Double dip.
I'll be attending the Patriots training camp this weekend on Sunday and was hoping to get some of the players' autographs. Although this is a long shot, I'd settle for PFW autographs. I love
better
the
chance of players' autographs.
I love the wow.
No, I'm saying because of where we sit.
Then Andy's.
I just can't see you from your high horse up there.
Because of where we sit.
Oh, okay. You're allowed to move anywhere you want.
Yeah,
you can
I know.
Go anywhere you want.
But we are working.
We have a job to do, Fred.
Yes, we
I
do.
Don't know if,
we have to move forward.
Sitting back and
Fred, you know
jokes
that we have
drinking Gatorade is working, but that's our.
Fred, we have practice over the weekend, right?
Oh yeah,
we have an issue.
Andy informed me that Sunday is going to be a very long day.
Sunday will be a long day.
Yeah.
We're getting.
You get me home by 8 o'clock Sunday. Can you get me out of here by 7?
I don't know. It's up to you guys.
We're getting a lot of praise for the training camp preview issue, the finally football issue.
As well, you should. A very comprehensive and complete issue
on newsstands now.
Yeah.
Or available at 1-800-494-PATS.
From one of the most harshest critics, too, gave us some props for it.
Someone who likes absolutely nothing enjoyed the issue.
Mm. Mark Capello. Likes nothing.
And he literally likes nothing except Republicans.
Well, Republicans in certain movies.
Certain movies, yes.
Almost everything is overrated for him, right? Even the movies that he likes.
Just not Mitt Romney.
It delivered, but, you know, kind of everything's overrated.
Tyler says, I love the camaraderie you guys bring to the table, with each of you adding something different to the plate, some more than others. My favorites are Fred and Andy, with Paul a close third and Eric a distant fifth. All kidding aside...
There's only four of us.
All kidding aside, where would I be able to find you guys? And for the love of God, please don't ever let B-Lo anywhere near Mike again. I'm afraid he'd swallow it. The week you were all
it's unanimous.
At
they
the same
B-Lo.
Time was brutal. You know, that's too bad, because I asked B-Lo to fill in as a... You know, as a favor, and he gets killed.
He's not sensitive, though. He doesn't care.
No, he doesn't.
He it won't bother.
I did go after him. I was on with him.
Oh, my
and
God.
He kept, you know.
That's facetious.
It
was Jackie, Brian, and myself. And Brian was doing a lot of talking. But as he was talking, he kept looking at his thumb. So finally, I said something. Why do you do that?
Yeah,
why
Jackie was telling me that today.
I said, do you have notes on your thumb or something? What are you doing?
He never realized that he was doing it.
But he does that.
He does, yeah.
He looks at his
He
thumb.
Looks at it, and then he hides
it's
it.
It's probably like that. Remember that tick that Pac-Man had that I pointed out to you? He always
flick
his nostrils.
But why?
It's an just idiosyncrasy.
Like, usually those start somehow. There's like something that started.
Andy and I don't have any of those.
I just can't imagine. Like,
maybe one day he had like that weird piece of skin next to the nail that was a little irritated or something.
Cuticle.
Yeah, that.
See that?
No.
All right.
Paul, we're on TV. I mean, we're on the radio.
Loser.
Well, you brought it up. I want to know what you're pointing
at. Some motorcycle that smashed into a car.
Oh, did you see the Panthers guy that on the way to training camp, there was a car on fire and he pulled kids and a dog?
I think it was a Titan.
And...
Oh, really?
Okay, Titans works,
I think it was
too.
Tennessee Titan.
Yeah. Similar.
Yeah. Some undrafted rookie saved a family that was in a burning car.
He was like, I never really thought it was dangerous. And then later when it blew up, I thought, whoa, that was dangerous.
How about, like, everybody, he goes, everybody was just driving by, and I assumed, you know, I figured someone's going to have to stop, so it might as well be me.
Right.
Like, how could you see a burning car on the side of the road with people in it and just drive by?
Right.
It's like an episode of Chips. You know how they always pull them out, and then the car blows up.
And
then they all jump in the air and laugh.
It's a good old school reference.
I love Chips.
Chips.
You liked every show that I absolutely couldn't stand. Probably like Dukes of Hazzard too.
Oh, loved it.
Oh God.
That was right in that was the Chips Dukes of Hazzard Knight Rider era.
Yeah. And I hated
great
all
TV.
Of those shows.
Tremendous
Airwolf.
TV. Yeah. Airwolf.
Well,
yes.
You were probably watching like Mashed Peas.
That's on the
Theater.
Next level. Those top 3 were like boom, that's Andy's TV.
Magnum PI?
Nah, I didn't care for that.
I didn't mind. Magnum
Those shorts
PI
were a little too tight.
It was the era.
They made Andy uncomfortable because we all know.
Well, yes,
always
that's true.
Always on his mind.
Didn't have to be on my mind. It was in front of my eyes.
Dan writes in. He's from New
like
Zealand.
Like it usually is.
Just wondering your thoughts, questions. The way that each of you feel about the team heading into camp this year would best be compared to which previous year?
'06.
Heading into camp this year, which previous year?
'06.
For me, I, it's hard for me to compare this to any.
Well, I'm disregarding the off-field stuff. I'm talking strictly on the
gutting of the offense.
Yeah, 06.
Yeah. You'd have to go 06.
Yeah.
Now
I don't really remember how I felt in 06.
The
though.
Thing about
now,
it, though,
well, in terms
like
of
05 was this juggernaut year for offense. Offense. Though.
Offense.
Offense.
No, it wasn't, but it was. No you had a level that you were playing at, and when you. Now, obviously, this is much different because it's so much more serious. What do we have time out?
No, I wanted Fred to say the name of the analyst who was on NFL Network right now.
I have no idea.
Because I just think it'll be funny.
I have no idea how to pronounce that name.
Kurt Warner?
Kurt Warner.
No, it's Baja Biamilo, whatever.
Yeah,
Akbar. And I wanted to hear Fred just try to say it.
Well, you say it.
I don't know how.
Oh, that's
but you're funnier. You're funnier than I am.
Start yelling at him. Go ahead. This is good.
I just make up a name for him.
You know, the half dollar, that rapper.
Yeah.
As you said yesterday.
Half dollar? He called 50 Cent rap. Half dollar. I had no idea what he was talking about.
That's funny.
I forget what it was.
Sorry.
06?
We're talking about
year.
The only thing, I mean, obviously this is much more serious, but in terms of on the field, you ended up with, as Andy just put it, the gutting of the offense. But going into training camp, you didn't know what was going to happen because everybody kind of assumed that the branch thing would get resolved. And it wasn't until you got into the regular season that they made the trade. It was like, wow, we held out all of training camp.
Right.
He's serious. And then they ended up trading him. So you lost all your receivers. You lost him and Givens. So that would be similar to me, is this. You lost Welker. You lost Hernandez. Who knows when you're going to get Gronk back.
Right. You know what I find interesting? Like, everybody talks about, and I've kind of been saying this, the players. Okay, you lost the players, but we don't even know what they're going to be. Are they two tight ends? Are they three receivers?
No,
are they
Fred's
two
been
backs?
Talking about it for a month.
Okay, so you got that.
And I agree with him.
Then we need to find, okay, we pick a scheme, theoretically. Well, then who's the personnel? And then the third step is actually, does it work? Can they run a route and catch the football? It's like, you don't even get to that before you're steps away.
Like, we had the whole
Josh
thing.
Josh McDaniels is earning his paycheck this year.
And I saw someone agreed with us, and we put McDaniels in our poll about who's under the most pressure on offense. And McDaniels we included, and someone, I read like one of those tweets, someone wrote that on NFL Network, I think, saying this is really, he's really under the gun. And I agree, even though he's had a little bit of time to sort of figure it out.
Little bit of time.
Yeah, well, I said that, you know, a little bit of time.
A month?
Everything that they thought they were going to do on offense is gone, because you know, regardless of what they were going to do, Hernandez was going to be a huge part of it.
Right.
Right?
He gives them that flexibility.
You know, they think that he is legitimately the best Swiss Army knife in football on offense. They think they can use him in so many different ways, and now they can't. And how, like, Andy's right. When we were doing the preview, the training camp preview, Andy did the receivers. You did wide receivers and tight ends. And we said, what do you think we should do for starters? Not who. What do you think we should do?
Two tight ends.
Do you do
one
two tight ends and one two receivers? Do you do three receivers, one tight end? I don't know.
Yep. It's they're starting from scratch.
Akbar Baja Biamila, by the way.
Good job. Now, do you legitimately think, like, Josh McDaniels got his regular vacation?
No.
Like, is there any chance he didn't leave?
That he was supposed to go somewhere and Bill said, no.
I didn't even get my regular
Bill
vacation.
Bill went somewhere.
Can we stop for a minute and be realistic here?
I think he did.
Yeah, I do too.
Bill went to Europe. I mean,
yeah, of course they did.
Yeah, but Bill's kind of on
as
the
Bill
back
Bill reiterated
nine.
Several times yesterday, he was out of the country.
Yes. That was the one thing I heard a couple people question, like, it was almost like he was setting up an alibi. Like, don't blame me. I was out of the country.
I was joking with you. It was like a few good men. You say it once, you get it on the record. You say it twice, it looks like you're hiding something.
Right.
Dan also goes on, with this team and what it will have to overcome this year, which rival would mean the most to beat in the Super Bowl? Giants, Packers, Seahawks, or 49ers? I don't know if any of them are rivals, but which team?
The Giants would be the closest rival.
The Giants.
I would say the Giants based on the two.
None of the others are rivals.
Although it would be nice to beat.
Oh, I would love to beat the Packers. I hate the Packers.
It would
as
be
we
nice
all know,
to beat
I don't want to go back to 96 with children in
the
room.
Right. Big mouth cornerback on the Seahawks. It'd be nice to beat them.
Who now has a weekly column on MMQB.
Yeah. I know. I don't have any real animosity for those.
I really don't, but
for the NFC West teams.
It'd be fun.
Yeah, because Paul doesn't think they're that good anyway.
It'd be very interesting to play the Seahawks in the Super Bowl because of Pete Carroll. And
how good would you feel going into a matchup with the Giants in the Super Bowl because of history and sort of the – would you be scared?
No. The history wouldn't bother me.
I would not.
But if I thought that they would – you know, like right now I wouldn't feel really good playing San Francisco based on the way they've played.
Right. No, I know.
If the Giants were dominant like that, I wouldn't feel really good.
Twice we thought the Patriots were better and they weren't.
Yeah. Well, I didn't – no, I didn't think they were better the second time.
You picked the Giants to win that Super Bowl?
Absolutely.
I don't remember that.
I figured not.
I want to hear the tape.
No, the first time I thought it was going to be a
blow.
I thought we were going to blow them out, the undefeated.
Everybody did.
I thought they had their chance in the regular season game. It was close.
The Giants.
No, you didn't.
I know, but
good
Paul's
for you.
Doing it. So.
Good for you. I thought they were going to get blown out. I thought the Patriots would blow. I thought the Giants had their chance in that last regular season game, and they'd never put kind of a performance
it was a once
up.
You give Tom Coughlin 2 weeks to prepare for Bill Belichick.
The second time, the Giants had already beaten the Patriots in New England. I gave the Giants every opportunity to win that game, and I thought they would.
If you could bring one player back from a previous Patriots team and one player from a current NFL roster into camp today, who would they be? Back from a previous Andre Tippett.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean,
Randy Moss 07 wouldn't be bad.
Can you read it again?
QB pressure. If you could bring one player back from a previous Patriots team and one player from a current NFL roster into camp today, who would they be?
I think I'd go Moss 07.
I'd bring Calvin Johnson and Andre Tippett.
Drew Bledsoe.
Oh, okay. I was thinking a former Patriot on another roster.
As he said,
just any player on another roster?
One player from a current NFL roster.
Fitzgerald or Calvin Johnson.
Yeah. See, I wouldn't need to because I took
things
Moss.
Right like that.
I would go Moss.
Why not have both? Then you got two studs on the outside.
Well, it's Tippett going to play defensive end?
No.
He's an outside linebacker.
Yeah.
Kind of a 3-4 team back then. How's he going to fit in the scheme?
But you don't think,
you just put him in there. Let him
but
rush
you don't
the
think
passer.
That it's the same thing?
You, yeah,
you could
different.
Put you could put Tippett out
a little different, but he
spacing's
could do the same
a little
thing.
Different, and yeah, you know, part of his dominance was fighting tight ends and being able to play that full football game,
right? Yeah, but picture,
so he could
exactly
do, he could do that.
Imagine
you don't need to do that as much with defensive end there.
When you have a guy like Tippett, you build around him.
You let him do what all of the people who defended him going into the Hall of Fame said that LT had the advantage over. He didn't have to block tight ends. He could just go on the weak side and rush the quarterback. Now you can let Tippett just roam free and get to the quarterback. Imagine the devastation he could wreak on other teams.
Stanley Morgan would be a guy that if you brought him in, then you could think about bringing in Patrick Willis.
I wouldn't want Patrick Willis. I mean, I love Patrick Willis,
yeah,
but I'm bringing in an
need.
Edge guy like you started with.
Well, J.J. Watt or something. You know, I would rather have...
J.J. Watt would be pretty high on my list after the year he put forth last year.
Yeah, if he could do that again.
Just worried.
I think
that,
I'd go Moss and Watt because I know Moss and Brady.
4-game break during the season
work.
At some point.
Oh, he could be.
I'm getting Moss 07, right? Like,
oh yeah, you're getting.
Well, you
not
said
getting
that.
Tippett like upstairs.
No, you said. Yeah. Right. You said. You,
okay, just making sure.
But that's what you said, Moss 07.
Yeah, Moss Watt.
You know, it's like
I only need 8 letters.
How many sacks do you think Tippett would get today? Well, you know, maybe 5. Only that many? Well, he's over 50 years
right,
old.
Yeah, exactly. He spends half the day looking for food in the office.
Dan says that. By the way, I think we need more Eric.
He spends the other half golfing.
By the way, I think we need more Eric, less 12-year-old Andy, but more pointless arguments with Andy and Fred, more Jackie and less B-Lo. If you were wondering, Paul, you're doing fine as you are.
Oh, that's okay.
I don't.
I didn't realize that motorcycle accident was Nick O'Leary. Tight end for Florida State, Jack Nicklaus's grandson.
Oh.
And where was the video?
Was he okay?
Like, what?
I don't know how they got
all
it.
All I saw was
I
a windshield that
in
was
May.
Like cracked.
Yeah, I don't know. He smashes into the car. That's how the windshield gets cracked.
Fred, did you see someone showed us the, you know, one of those many things we can't do on our website for coverage, but the Cowboys had a player with a camera attached to it. That was pretty cool.
Did you watch it?
Yeah.
I thought it was awful.
Oh, I thought it was tremendous when
I think
he dropped
the idea,
it and then he did the push-ups.
I think the idea is great.
You just see the ground coming
yeah,
up and
you
down.
You see him, his hands, he bumbles it and immediately he goes down and you see the ground closer.
I would rather have seen more stuff from his perspective and not just the plays that he was involved in. Like it was very, I found it very unsettling to watch. It was kind
of a lot of shaky camera movement.
It was nauseating.
No, it didn't bother me. And I have a sensitive tummy.
I thought, I would rather have seen, you know, him on the sideline, and then you show a play.
Hey,
you
Dan, know, where's this lunch you paid for?
With that up close look. I didn't like
I think
it.
You got hosed. They charged you for something I ain't eating.
It's all about him.
Robert
Always
writes in, and this
him.
Is another story that came out yesterday. Is there any inside info or your opinions on the NFLPA beef with the Patriots team doctor, Gil?
I don't know. I don't know much detail about this.
I know it has to do with Finene.
Right.
But that he wasn't acting in the best interest of him.
It has to do with emails or something.
Something like that.
Something he shared with executives.
Oh, and chances are this won't end well for Dr. Gill because he's a nice guy. We like to talk to
we
him.
We do.
And,
right.
So, we didn't mention Dennard at all, did we?
Nope.
Because that was a little bit of a surprise.
He was scheduled
yesterday.
By all accounts for the 31st and somehow went to court yesterday.
Yeah.
It's court day here in New England.
And what happened?
They gave him another court date.
Yeah,
oh, right.
He is
right.
Now free until August 27th
yeah,
as
okay,
the next.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's good. I
so
mean, he
not
was scheduled to miss a day.
Camp.
Right.
Well, and potentially could have missed all of camp if on the 31st,
right.
If he went and it didn't go well, he might have been had to miss all of camp. At least if it doesn't go well, it's after camp. And
I'm getting
well, but he also has the August 12th DUI court date because the one from yesterday was the probation. Revocation hearing.
Revocation.
Right. And now he still has the in between. He has to go to the actual DUI case.
So they're waiting for that.
If those reports
see what
are right,
yeah. With the other one probably.
If those dates are right.
If the dates are right.
He was also supposed to go on the 31st.
Yeah.
Yeah, and potentially the probation thing might. Well, I mean, I guess it could stay, but I think it might just go away if the DUI. I mean, he claims basically that this didn't happen. I mean, he's That's his defense, is that he's being railroaded.
Deny.
So I don't know if he ends up winning that on August 12th, what happens with the probation?
We'll see.
Well, you know.
Well, if he wins that, then he couldn't have violated his probation.
That's
right?
My point.
I'm getting the sense there is a lot of doubt here, and that's why the Patriots haven't acted and are waiting. I think we're
taking his version of the events.
Yeah,
and then we're going to wait and see how it plays out. I think the Patriots are handling it properly.
Andrew's in the Ukraine
twice this week.
What?
You're defending the Patriots?
I think the Patriots are handling it properly.
He's a wonk
sick?
And a honk.
I'm a wonk and a honk. Which, by the way, did not get a clarification from Tony and Felger.
Yeah, I think when he talks, it's a honk. He says he is a wonk.
He says that Mark Bertrand, who's going to be our new host with Andy and I on the Patriots pregame social, he says Bertrand is a wonk and I am a honk. I don't know what the difference is still.
I being you.
Yes. No, not Felger.
Right. He's a DB.
Felger is a contrarian.
We are boring to tears, young Benjamin. He was just asleep on his mom's shoulder.
He's probably hungry. Ben, are you hungry?
Are
you
hungry? Hungry. Oh, God. Don't.
Yeah. Fred's face is now the color of Paul's shirt.
Yeah, he's not. Yeah.
You should know hungry? I got a little wiener.
Yeah. Andrew in the Ukraine says, either you guys have come up with the greatest bit in PFW history, or someone switched the bodies of Paul and Fred while you're on vacation. Just by chance, Fred, have you been craving Miller Lights recently?
No, he doesn't slum it with beer. He's a
seriously, Paul,
craft beer.
Seriously, Paul's "we have Brady, everything is fine" argument makes no sense. Here is the math according to PFW. Recently, you guys assessed the defense as possibly improving by 15%. Paul estimated the offense dropping from 35 to 25 points, a drop of 30%. With a net decline of 15%, Paul expects this team to go from 3-3 versus above 500 teams to 5-2 versus quality teams.
Wow. People really take those numbers seriously when we throw out percentages?
Well, the percent. I'm not necessarily buying the premise of the math here. And you can't just automatically assume that all those teams, the seven game stretch that we've deemed to be tough, how do we know all those teams are going to finish over 500?
Right.
We don't know that.
Finally,
now.
You can't judge.
Well, no. Wait a minute. Fred,
judge a schedule until
the end of the season.
Okay, but I'll judge it now. Right. Yeah. Not all of those teams were over 500 last year.
Right.
That we've deemed losses. Right. And I shouldn't say all week. Yeah. More like Eric thinks they're going to lose all of those games.
Yeah, I'm just 2-5.
Yeah. I mean, no, Eric is
0-7. Right.
Well, 2-5 isn't all that much better.
It's two games better.
Two games better.
Well, thanks. I can do the math.
So instead of 9 wins, it's 11 wins, and I think that's a huge difference. You have them 9-7.
And you were trending towards 9-7, were you not?
But all I need is 11 to win my bet.
He doesn't believe his own crap.
Well, that's true, too.
I just want to eat a lunch. Now, who's involved in this lunch?
Just me and you.
Oh, okay.
The only people that had enough guts to put their money where they bought this.
We can go anywhere.
Listen, I keep boiling it down to my respect for Belichick and Brady. It's beyond that. I think that this program in general has proven over the years
this
that it can
withstand.
Yeah, well, that's what it is.
That's a Belichick word.
It's a program. It's a system that they have in place that has proven to be successful.
The program
successful.
Is talent.
It's something that a lot
they are not as talented right now as they were last year. There's no question about it. But I think this team has proven that it can lose talent and bring other talent in and find ways to win games. I don't think right now they're a Super Bowl contender. That could change. We'll see what happens during the course of the season, how they play. We might see things that we weren't expecting. But I just don't know why it's so silly to suggest that they'll win 12 games. And I've gotten a lot of criticism. I can take the criticism. That's okay. But I really don't think it's that outrageous to suggest that that Michelle Steele is her name, Fred. My God.
Have you ever
seen a woman in your life?
I just wanted Eric
to really not even an attractive woman. I don't even get it.
She definitely didn't get me to turn my head twice when we were out there.
She's better than
her.
That one you like.
Oh, that, we don't have to bring that one on the air.
We know that's something
that just
weird.
Animalistic.
All logic whatsoever. Animalistic.
Yeah. Higgins and Hopkinton,
She must, like, exert a certain, like, what do they call it,
pheromones.
Pheromone. I'll have her pheromoning.
Unbelievable.
Higgins, for God's sake.
Higgins. Help himself.
Higgins. He's asleep. He's not even listening anymore.
Higgins. He's like, Dad, really? This is what you write poems about?
Right.
Higgins and Hopkinson writes in, don't listen
to
those.
Hey, Dad, you're a loser. Sorry, Fred.
Higgins Hopefully and Hopkinson writes
in. B-Lo getting some love on ESPN.
Well, you know, I mean,
I was behind Brady. I mean, I was.
I have the same haircut.
They do kind of.
Higgins and Hopkinson says, don't listen to those emailers hating on B-Lo. He's great. I love hearing him, how in-depth he gets into football talk. People just love taking shots at him. It's lunchtime, though, so I'm off to get some hot dogs and sausages.
He's off getting our calzones.
I don't mind people getting in-depth with football, but I usually like them to know the game of football when they do it.
Oh, stop it. B-Lo knows.
I don't have any problem getting in-depth in football. I just go to Andy. He tells me everything I need to know.
Aloha, right? Gentlemen, from Paul on the Big Island of Hawaii.
Nice.
Never.
Aloha.
Aloha.
The Big Island.
Enjoy listening to your podcast. Do you think there could be a connection between the early release of Lud Dedrick in Love? Did I say Lud?
Lud? Yes.
Yep.
Lud Dedrick and others with possible connection to the Hernandez Flophouse?
No.
But, wait, that was... That was in
before.
Yeah. So no.
Yeah.
No. I mean, that's bad news for the organization if it is.
I would also find it really, really hard to believe that Kyle Love would have been associated with that type of thing.
Okay.
I'm not going to take it. Yeah, I don't know him that well, but.
No, but you've talked to him enough times. He didn't seem like he was.
I didn't think Hernandez was a murderer either.
A lot of people were surprised.
Not that he
about
was a murderer, but that. He would be in that environment.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
I don't know these guys that well.
No,
but
we don't.
He's
married or attached.
Yeah, I think he's married.
And has a child.
He recently had a child.
Yes, that's a little different.
That puts him roughly in the same exact spot that Hernandez was.
But you know what I mean.
I buy
Kyle Love, too. And if someone asked me after he ended up doing something wrong, if I was surprised, I would be more surprised about Kyle Love than I was.
That's
with
my
Hernandez,
point.
No question. But
my point.
I'm not willing to just say I don't think, you know.
I'd be surprised.
Yeah, no, I would be surprised. I agree
with you.
That's
all I'm saying.
I agree with you.
Why am I going to get
ecstatic? I'd be surprised with everybody.
But
not everybody.
I would be very surprised, matter of fact, stunned.
There's only
if
one
the Patriots knew anything about that.
What are you doing? Never mind. I'll wait till we go to a break.
Okay.
When I mention specific names on the air.
Why? That's what we do.
Now I don't know what we're talking about.
I don't either.
12-4, Fred. I got to get back to it.
It always seems to work out for Brady and Belichick.
Paulie
positive.
That's
not what I said.
They always find a way.
Daniel writes in from Hamburg. Let's be serious. Mm. What would have been the reaction if we didn't have a contract extension for Gronk's presumably brilliant counterpart? The majority of fans would have been pissed. The guys on NFL.com might have stopped praising Belichick as the mastermind of football. To avoid all this crap, we had to sign the second part of our tight end duo. I don't blame the Patriots for that decision, and I hope the reporters will stop asking the players and coaches about Hernandez.
Well, we were a long way from any debate over that.
People realize that he would have still been under contract even this season his rookie deal, right?
Mm. Right.
And then could have been franchised as a tight end, by the way.
Now,
that could have been interesting.
I would wholeheartedly agree with
the
emailer.
That's what the whole discussion was about right before he signed the extension.
If the Patriots let him get to free agency and they didn't re-sign him and they lost him like they lost Welker, absolutely what the emailer is saying would have happened. They would have gotten a lot of criticism. You've built your offense around these two young tight ends, and it's supposed to be this revolutionary thing, and now you just let one walk over money. They would have gotten criticized. However, you didn't have to sign them to a long-term deal for that much money 2 years early.
Right.
And that's legitimate criticism, too.
Robin in Alaska says, I hadn't noticed what a softball guy Peter King was until hearing you guys playfully joke about him the other day. Even though King asked Brady about Hernandez, he phrased his question in the perfect way to allow Brady to give the stock Belichick answer to it. I can't decide if King is a genius for that or not, but you can consider Peter King checked.
Okay. It's working for Peter King.
It's
so
worked very
he's
well
a genius.
For Peter King. And I actually
he's making somewhere in the range of $1.5 million a year and has his own website.
Really?
Oh, that's what I read.
Wow.
Paul I just really, said, softballs, where do I get them?
No, I really like Peter. I actually like Peter King, but that is what that is what he is. No, I don't know him personally, but I don't have any problem with with the way he does things. Listen, he's had a great career. Carved a great career out for himself throwing those softballs, but that is what he is.
Right. Nick and Victoria.
God bless you.
Wow, Under Armour must be paying Tom a fortune to let him be called Tommy Salami. Have you seen that?
Yes.
Yeah, I thought it was funny. No one else does.
I don't think it was funny.
No one else does. All of Geekville didn't find it funny. Albert Breer didn't find it funny. No. I thought it was funny.
I didn't
think
it was
funny. Did you guys not get food? Oh, okay.
If Matt Light was around, he'd be sticking it to him every day. Guess that's going to be Big Vince's job now. Coming to get you, Tommy Salami. I'm sure by the time you read this, you'll have covered it. But if not, I'll ask, what did you think about the lack of questions regarding Dennard? Well, I think that the focus was...
To Bill,
yeah.
You mean?
Yeah.
Well, there was one, wasn't there?
Yesterday? Wasn't
it? Yeah.
Yeah, and he shot it down. He said, I can't talk about anybody who's in ongoing legal investigation.
I thought the media would hammer questions about him not being cut after Bill vouches for the... Whoops, I just kicked Paul in the Achilles. After not being cut after Bill vouches for the guy, and then he gets burned. All the talk about being a good member of the community, etc., really seems to be placed on the back burner because the team needs depth at defensive back, which in this case seems to mean douchebag and not defensive back. Wow. Thanks, guys, and I can't wait for the training camp coverage. You guys really are the best at it. Look, I think that Bill
I think the lack
it.
Of training camp, Dennard coverage was because he came out to talk about Aaron Hernandez specifically, and that's probably the only time you're ever going to get him to talk about it. So you had to get as many questions as possible about that.
But they are kind of related.
No, but that...
The fact that everybody is already
I agree,
cut
I think
of,
Eric is right, but he also was asked a question about Dennard, and it was the ongoing investigation answer. And that one's legit. I mean, he's still on the team. It's an ongoing investigation.
But overall, you know, the whole, you know, what are you going to do from here when it comes to evaluating players?
That's part of
his
Dennard.
Answer is, and I think it should be, and I'm glad it is that each guy is individual.
Right, and there that is also is related to Dennard.
Right,
Fred.
Right. There is not going to be one formula that covers everything. Every guy is going to be, evaluated on an individual basis. That includes Dennard right now, and you know if Dennard's right, then he has every right to remain on this team and play football.
Correct.
You know.
The one time I thought Bill did bristle a little was when the questions about John Drew this week and that, and you know, we signed the guy we wanted. He brought in a bunch of players and we signed the guy I wanted. I thought he took a tone of old Bill, football Bill in that. But
yeah,
it was about Hernandez. That press conference was about Hernandez.
Food's here.
Woo!
So let's take a break. We've been going for an hour 12. We'll be right back after this.
Verizon Fios is America's fastest internet. How fast is that? Faster than Patriots linebacker Gerard Mayo can take down a quarterback, a running back, tight end, or an offensive lineman who just got in the way. In fact, Verizon Fios internet is more than twice as fast as anything you've ever seen. And that means Patriots scores, videos, highlights, and more right when you want them. Fios is built to support multiple devices simultaneously with a constant stream of your favorite Patriots content. And that means you get Gerard Mayo's sacks at Gerard Mayo's speed.
Now that's fast.
Welcome to a world of football where and when you want it. Welcome to Life on Fios, proud sponsor of the New England Patriots. Fios available in select areas. Internet speeds are 300 down and 65 up megabits per second available.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochet. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected. The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at patriotsproshop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, better banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank. Member FDIC.
Now, story time with Fred Kirsch.
I had this dream. I was in this, it was sort of like a cafeteria setting with big glass windows, and a lot of people there were people that we worked with and like on the travel party. So we're looking and there's this weather coming and it's like dark clouds and it turns into this tornado. So I'm like, everybody get away from the windows. We get away from the windows and trees are coming down, but luckily nothing happened. So then that passes, and then we decide that, okay, dinner is coming soon, but a lot of us wanted to work out after dinner, so this cafeteria turns into a hotel. And now a lot of us have to go up in the elevator to get our gym stuff, because after we eat, we're going to work out. So we get in the elevator, and it's a bunch of people, and one of them's Gino. And Gino has no pants on, Gino Capoletti. And his unit is attached to his hip.
Hello.
And it was like,
hello.
It was like a weird deformity, like that no one ever knew about, but there it was. It's like, and my thoughts going through my mind was, how does he like explain that to women?
Why are you having dreams about Gino's unit?
Thanks, babe.
It was attached to his hip.
I don't care where it's attached. Why are you thinking about his unit?
I don't know. It was just a weird dream.
That was story time with Fred Kirsch.
Next week, you're going to tell Gino this story, right? Please.
No. And you better not bring it up either. All right, back here in PFW in progress. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Web radio at patriots.com is the email address. Mark in Wilbraham writes in at web radio. He says, I just got back to my desk. Did you go over the situation concerning Armin Armstead? He was on the non-football injury list. Why? Well, actually, it was the non-football illness.
Yeah,
list.
I've never seen that listing before. Was that a typo?
I don't think so. No.
No,
because
that was not a typo. I didn't know about it.
I wanted to find out which illnesses in the world were specifically football related. I'd never heard of such a thing before.
That's a good one. Yeah.
Staph infection. I think if you're a Cleveland Brown, you had that non-football, that would be a football illness.
But you got the flu in the locker room, maybe?
Right. I think you could claim if, like, when the Browns had that rash of infections,
yeah.
I literally think that would be a football illness. You got that because you were a Cleveland Brown and were in the locker room and blah, blah, blah.
You know, so we're only to assume this has to do with the heart situation.
Right. Although, maybe we shouldn't.
But
I don't know.
Shouldn't.
Right.
Maybe not.
We don't know, Fred.
Right. And, you know, unlike Ballard, unlike Ballard, who was listed on active PUP and came off, Armstead is still on that list.
Yeah.
Right.
That's more troublesome if that's the case.
It is, well, but we don't know.
What if he just showed up with the flu and couldn't run the conditioning run?
Right. Yeah, and I
technically, maybe you have to put him on something.
Could be.
Because he didn't pass it that day, and I don't know.
But I think it would be active PUP is what it would be. But I think, Eric, I mean, obviously I get your point, but I think the term non-football injury, non-football part of that, just means it's something that was pre-existing before he became a Patriot. That's why I think it's the heart-related thing.
Well, not necessarily before he was a Patriot, before he
gets he got him. Here.
No, but you can be a Patriot, and if you blow out your knee playing basketball in a non-sanction, you could have a non-football injury.
Sure.
Because they'll be pissed at you, and they won't might not want to pay
you. Sure.
Right?
Yeah, I don't, yeah.
Skiing, right. Well, anything like that.
Yeah, something stupid.
What did the Bucks do with the kicker?
Oh, I don't know.
Connor Barth?
Yeah.
He was placed on NFI.
NFI?
Yeah.
Mark also Chiano, says, Belichick. Also, did they do the fitness test today, or was that already done? If they already did it, did everyone pass, including Spikes? They did it. We don't know who passed or failed. I assume if guys didn't pass it, they'll have another list that they'll release
later
today.
And that'll go across the wire. Well, they won't release it. That'll go across the wire, and people will start to hear about it, pick it up. Our friend Ravens Insider will start tweeting stuff out with his access to the wire. And
right.
You'll know.
Paul,
and there'll be somebody on it. I'll be stunned if there is not a single person today that goes on lists.
Right. Paul's favorite emailer, Bill Berry, writes in, people are piling on Bielo because, well, he's Bielo. He was not as bad as people say. That said, Fred, never leave again.
He wasn't bad at all.
He couldn't be as bad as people are saying. It's not possible.
He wasn't.
People
just like to be mean.
Chris is in California.
The misery couple stay together. You know, right. We'll defend each other. We have no one else, so we'll stick together. No. Misery loves company.
Only miserable around you, my friend.
Oh, my friend.
I wasn't here, and you must have been miserable. People have been shredding you and Bielo for that show. No, Jackie got off scot-free somehow.
Actually, Eric wasn't on the show. It was just me. Oh.
Thursday
Bielo
show.
And, yeah.
Oh, I heard you, too.
They were killing me, too?
No, they wanted to actually know why you weren't creepy and awkwardly hitting on Jackie like you have all her predecessors.
Because I don't do that.
Like you have all her predecessors was the rest of that sentence before you start speaking.
You know, I'm creepy. He's calling me creepy.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
That is true. He's calling you creepy.
Yeah.
And you are.
Chris is in California. Who is one rookie and one veteran on the Patriots you think is overrated and underrated? This is sort of the Paul question, except, you know.
One rookie and one veteran. That's underrated. Can a rookie be overrated?
Yeah, Zach Sudfeld's overrated.
Oh, well, I'm
starting to think Jamie Collins might be overrated, but I don't know.
We don't know. It's too early.
We haven't even seen a practice.
Right.
Yeah, I'm not sold on him.
Right. I'm not either. I haven't seen him play.
And
we have one underrated and one overrated for each one. Was that the question, Fred?
Underrated Logan Ryan. I think he could be a solid guy that just comes in and plays, and people are like, wow, he's coming in and playing.
Maybe. And an overrated veteran.
Overrated and underrated veteran?
I can't call Mayo anymore. He had a good year.
Paul thinks Mankins
is
overrated.
No,
no.
Paul's afraid of Mankins and would never say that.
Plus, he's my favorite player. Why would I say that?
Okay. Overrated.
Aqib Talib.
That's a tough call.
Overrated.
Well,
Aqib Talib.
Oh, he's certainly overrated. Yeah, last year. Overrated.
Underrated. Logan Mankins.
You're such a...
No, stop it.
Underrated. Underrated, underrated.
Wendell.
What about Ninkovich at this point?
Ryan Wendell.
I mean, for a while he was. Oh, he's underrated. He's underrated. Now I think he might be at, not overrated, but where he should be.
Ninkovich?
Yeah.
Oh, I agree. You know, I was fraudulently pumping him for the Pro Bowl last year. He's not really a Pro Bowl player.
No. But he's a very solid...
Plus, I like him.
Starter-capable player.
You know who I think is a little underrated at this point? Steve Gregory is being painted to have had the worst season in the history of the safety position, and I didn't think he was that bad. You know, he missed tackles. Yes, he missed tackles. I don't know what you want me to tell
no
you.
No more than some of the other people who aren't on this team anymore.
It's already a, what do they say, fait accompli or whatever, that he's cut, he stinks, never see him again, never field again. Well, he started 12 games for you. He started games after, you know, Belichick didn't hate him as much as fans seem to
hate him. He could start this year.
Right. I think he is being painted as much worse last year than he really was.
Strippers wants to know, do you guys agree with Breer when he says Belichick knows the Hernandez cloud will cast a shadow over the whole season as the case slivers through the legal system? I think once the season starts, once football's back, we forget about him.
Well, I don't think you're going to be able to forget about him completely.
I don't think that.
But, and especially if, as we were talking about before, if for some reason the tight ends that they do have, if Gronk is unavailable and the tight ends they do have, you know, aren't up to snuff and the offense starts to suffer, the questions will come up about, you know, how much do they miss this player? How much do they miss having the two tight end, two-headed monster out there?
I think
the story's not going to go away.
But I don't think you're going to get a big...
It's not going to be about the case as much. It's going to be about how it affects the chemistry on the field.
Let's go to the Ace Ticket Hotline. Sean's in Vancouver. Hey, Sean.
Hey, how you guys doing?
We're doing okay. What do you got?
I sent an email in a couple weeks ago when Dennard was had the DUI initially come up, and I think Eric and Jackie UK were asking fans, like, should he be released, you know, in light of what happened with Hernandez and all that, and I wrote in that I think it's a case by case scenario, and we still don't have all the information. We have to wait and see, and they were like responding to it like saying, well, what other information do you need? And I think here, well, I didn't have, you know, can't respond through email, but here is where we see that. Like, he's denying the charge, and he's going to go to court, and that's what we're waiting for. We want to see, you know, exactly what's going to happen. And I think the Patriots are right not to release him, because who knows what's going to happen. What is it, the 14th of August that comes up?
Well, the 12th, I believe.
12th, okay. So, you know, there's there could be a number of things. I wasn't there. I don't know. That's why you have court cases.
Yeah. Well, no, I think you're right, Sean. I think in a case like this, you wait and see. You know, there's no reason to act abruptly if you're the Patriots. You know, unless it's so obvious, then you don't have to act abruptly.
Yeah. I mean, if someone's being taken away in handcuffs and put in jail for who knows how long, I guess you can act. But in this case, no, you got to wait.
Sure.
See what goes on. Cross our fingers.
Yep.
Well.
All right, Sean. Thanks for the call.
Yeah, I agree with Sean, because the case-by-case part, definitely. And to me, it wasn't so much getting taken away in handcuffs, because I'm sure that Dennard was arrested, right?
Yeah, he was taken into custody.
That's how they take you into custody.
Right.
But, you know, there's a difference between a suspicion of DUI and, you know, being charged with murder one. Now, I understand that they didn't know exactly what the charge was when they released Hernandez, but they knew it involved a murder investigation. And to me, that's different. And I can certainly understand the Patriots looking at that differently.
But you
Cameron's
could
moving
but it's
all
also
over the place
but Paul,
me.
The other part of that, I'm sorry, I'm not attacking you. I meant to just bring up the point. If this were Dennard's first offense, you have every right to give him the benefit of the doubt, the second chance. The fact that it's come so soon after all of the other stuff was the reason why Jackie and I were saying, you got to get rid of him. You can't give him another chance.
How did the arrest happen?
It
was probably late at night. So
2 a.m.
Even the being out late at night is, I don't care whether you were guilty or not. You shouldn't have been there at that time.
Anybody
doing that
thinks they should have released him that day, I don't have any problem with that. I wouldn't have. I would have done exactly what the Patriots are doing. They're getting more information.
When did
and they're
he turn
find
into
out.
The wonk?
It's okay.
Because, like Belichick, I take it on a case-by-case basis. There are times where
you take it all right.
Oh, my God. You're so inappropriate. It's beyond description. I'm
He's
disgusted.
Not listening
I'm disgusted
anymore, so it's
with
okay.
you.
He's got football cards out now. He's so bored.
Andrew was in Corpus Christi, Texas. He says, first-time emailer. I found the podcast a couple months ago, and I am totally hooked.
Welcome aboard.
I moved out of Massachusetts when I was 18 and haven't lived there since, but for 4 hours a week, I feel like I'm back home. I have a Welker question.
I don't know if that's good or bad, because everybody says, like, mass holes, and is that, like, a bad thing? We're bringing a little feel of New England back to them?
Too bad.
Do you consider yourself a mass hole?
Sure.
Like, everything that goes with it, bad driving?
Oh, no. Well, I'm a bad driver, but, you know.
You are a bad driver. That is fact, not opinion.
although I don't get it into accidents, but I'm a bad
Paul's
driver.
Not a bad driver, but on paper, his record with all
more accidents in the parking lot.
It really is.
Paul's been in like 8 accidents in 2 years.
Well, anyway, that's typical Andy Hart.
That's because I've had a car for like passive aggressive driver.
I've had a car for like 8 years. I've been in one accident with it. I've been in 8 accidents the last 2 years. He says.
Well, you've had fender benders
with this car.
Yeah,
this is the first accident I ever had with this car.
I thought you were like people on the highway and so and so spun out.
Well, they just yell at him and beep at him and stuff.
That was the green Honda that I spun out. But that was 2007.
What about when you
a long time ago
when you hit that parked car on the off ramp or whatever or the turning lane?
Also the green car.
So the green car That's was like your practice car.
But I also said to
learning
you,
the ropes.
But I also said to you, on paper, it looks like I'm a horrific driver, but I'm telling you, they weren't my fault.
Which is the car that you drove down Route 1 with the sign in the back of your car that said,
that was
honk,
that was the white car.
Honk if you love New Kids on the Block.
That was the white Honda Accord LX. Okay. They've all been Honda Accord LSs.
You get the same model, too? Like, hasn't even upgraded to, like, I'll get the, whatever, the next DLX or Deluxe or something. Just sticks with what he knows.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Creature of habit.
More accurately, I stick with what I like. I don't know why I would get something different if I like what I have.
Well, what would the next model up offer?
A Lexus would be the next model up that I would like. I can't afford.
How do you know you'd like it?
Well, I think I would like it. I don't know. You're right.
The point is, you got to try things in order to know, Paul.
You just that, don't know.
And Paul. I would try it if I could afford it.
It's like Eric with seafood.
I have tried it, Fred.
Oh, when you were 2 years old.
No.
Like Eric with women. One of these days he's going to try it.
he gets so mad. Andrew writes in, I have a Welker question. You guys seem to think it was a bad decision to let him go, but given his drops in the playoffs last year and the Super Bowl before, wasn't it justified?
It was not drops. There
last
were no drops.
Last year he had a couple drops in each playoff game
That's
as well
so
as
absurd.
A number of balls that, while they couldn't be called drops, certainly seemed catchable. His regular season stats were amazing, but the Pats care about Super Bowls.
Are they going to do this to Brady
this
when
ridiculous.
He leaves? Are they going to say, like, the Paul thing, he couldn't
ridiculous.
Put together consistent postseason when he played a good defense?
Here's the thing. You know, people remember the Welker drops because, you know, they are so few. And also...
Yeah, no one talks about Hernandez's drops.
People forget that, you know...
They weren't drops.
I saw another email where, you know, a lot of his catches were just run-of-the-mill catches. You know how many catches he had to extend first down drives?
Yeah. Oh, that you got to read that email.
Unbelievable.
That was a terrible email.
Yeah.
Discount all his catches in blowouts.
Right.
How do you think it started to get to a blowout? He was the key to the offense.
Do you know how many of these drives that Patriots had the record for first downs last year and maybe not just last year? You know how many of those were because of Wes Welker?
Yeah.
You
know? And let's not
seven.
Rewrite history here.
It did was you say seven.
The guy did a 180 in the air. I know the ball hit his hands, but he had to do a 180 in order to... He left his feet, did a 180, and still dropped the ball. That's not his fault entirely.
Miss.
It's a bad pass.
He cannot catch it and throw it, too. Maybe if he threw it better, he wouldn't have to catch it.
Exactly. And now the one against Baltimore happened early in the third quarter.
Right. Overblown.
That's so. Way overblown. You don't lose a game in the third quarter.
It was a bad drop, but when you throw to a guy 200 times, he's going to have some drops.
Everybody drops them.
Right.
Exactly.
Everybody. Everybody throws picks.
It's really,
right. And didn't Belichick
really
everybody,
unfair
every
criticism.
Quarterback's thrown picks, every running back has fumbled, every
if you
receiver.
Don't, if you don't remember you all the drive extending amazing catches that Welker's made over his career, then you're just not watching.
Well, you're a wonk.
I like the way you put it, Fred, too. It's like, he has so few that they're extremely memorable. And it's not just because they were in big spots, because like Eric says, early third quarter on a third down, yeah, it was a big play in the game, but it didn't cost him the game.
Right.
When you have so few drops, they're memorable. Andy's punching bag, who we think sucks, is Aaron Hernandez, dropped the ball frequently.
Yeah, I wouldn't want me bad-mouthing Aaron Hernandez.
So you don't recall every drop because there's too many.
Right.
But people, you talk about drops with Wes Welker, and they'll tell you that the one against the Giants, the one against the Ravens.
And you know, those people, well, he only drops it in big spots. Are you kidding me?
That's crazy.
You know,
Brady goes to Welker in the biggest of spots, and time after time he came through for Brady.
That's an example of fans taking for granted what Welker had done
Absolutely,
for them all,
yeah.
all. I mean, he made such tough catches seem routine for so long. People just... completely forgot about all the big plays that he
yeah,
had.
It's
the
really...
one thing I do give fans credit for is they turned on him a little bit when he was still here after the
yeah.
Super Bowl.
Well, yeah.
yeah.
I mean,
so it's not totally he's no longer with us, so they started
you know,
ripping him when he was still here.
One of the reasons why, Andy, I think, is because Welker took that drop in the Super Bowl so personally. You remember how
he gave them the ability to do it because he acknowledged it and
he owned it.
Yes.
He took ownership of it even though he shouldn't have, but that was the kind of player he was. He felt like it was all on his shoulders.
I mean, that was a traumatic loss for everybody, and some people, in order to deal with trauma, they need to find the scapegoat. They need to point blame somewhere. But Wes, you cannot. There's nothing bad you can say about Wes Welker as a Patriot. Nothing.
And all that said, and I was probably, not probably, I would definitely, out of the four of us, the least excited about Welker when he was a Patriot, right?
Right.
I probably downplayed his accomplishments more than...
Change. Right.
I don't know. Fred's a close second.
I'm not changing my views because he's no longer here. I didn't think it was as big a deal that they let him go. Now, there's things that have happened since then that have made it a much bigger deal. I mean, you've lost Hernandez as well. And Gronkowski's status is certainly uncertain now. So now you have a big turnover on offense in his concerns. But in a vacuum, just the Welker thing, I don't really have a tremendous problem saying, I'm going to walk away from Welker and turn it over to Amendola. Because I think you could make an argument that he's a younger version, a more athletic version, and...
But that's another conversation.
It's not a sure thing. Personnel decisions are never sure things. We don't know if he's going to stay healthy.
But
that's
a
concern.
Swap is more important now because
absolutely. That's why I said in a vacuum. Just
you had
that
a certainty
thing.
In Wes Welker.
Yes.
Everything else taken away, you still know Wes Welker can get the tough catches, stay healthy, all of that.
That's fact, not opinion. I absolutely agree with that. I can't be hypocritical though. In March, I didn't think it was that big a deal. It's become a bigger deal based on what's happened since March. But in March, I wasn't up in arms over it. I was surprised that the Patriots allowed it to happen over seemingly so little dollars. You know, was it $12 million?
Yeah,
2 years, $12 million.
2 years, $12 million.
I was surprised they allowed it to happen over such, let's call it what it is, loose change.
Ironically,
ironically,
I know
that
loose change for loose change.
But I am not overly. I'm not overly upset that you've decided to go with a younger guy. This is what the Patriots have always done.
Is Ryan Mallett the 10th best backup quarterback in the NFL? Somebody did a list of that the other day, tweeted it out, and Mallett was number 10.
Boy. It was slow time of year.
Yeah.
Huh?
Cowboys have a new stadium name, by the way.
AT&T?
AT&T.
Can you hear me now? No, that's Verizon.
Was it Verizon?
Right, AT&T is...
Is it just AT&T Stadium? It's terrible. I hate it. I don't like it.
That's going to be confusing with the Baltimore's M&T Bank Stadium.
Right.
Is it still that?
Yeah.
I'm sure Jerry Jones is really upset that Andy's not giving him the stamp of approval.
Well, Jerry Jones should care because, you know what, he's running a franchise into the ground, even though they're still making $3 billion or whatever. Did you see the rip job on their turf? They're really getting criticized for the CONCACAF.
Well, I assume they had to put turf down over their turf,
right?
Yeah.
But we did that, and I don't remember getting ripped as much as they did. They had a whole pile of sand that they had to paint green and mix up so that they could fill in all these divots and ruts. And they got rip-jobbed.
Andrew also says, P.S., a while ago you guys were complaining about fruit flies. Take a small bowl, fill it with a mixture of honey, red wine, balsamic vinegar, and dish soap, and put it next to your fruit. The sweet will attract the flies, and the dish soap will break the surface tension, so when they land on it, they drown. Also, put tin foil over banana stems. When you're done, feel free to drink the rest of the bottle of wine. Okay? That's a little Martha Stewart help there.
I bought a thing. It was $8. I was a little surprised how big it was.
What?
Fruit fly trap.
When were you complaining about fruit flies?
I don't remember, but I have fruit flies.
Here. Maybe it was on my vacation.
On we have them.
I don't remember
them
talking
here
about that. Dan,
and I also
why don't we talk about that?
Yeah. Go check the notes, please.
A little earlier this year.
I do want...
You're not taking any notes today. What's going on?
Oh, he'll go back and listen and take notes.
Really? Is that what you do? Do you go back and listen and take notes, or do you just do it on the fly?
When I listen the first time, I don't go back through.
He said when he listens the first time, he doesn't go back through.
But I have a certain expectation of a line that Fred... A question of Fred asked your son earlier, I hope, is in the poem.
Oh, yeah. Rhymes with
Brom. Because Andy never misspeaks.
No, but that was funny.
I'm a little disappointed that Fred hasn't lashed out.
Shut up, fat mouth.
Joel's in Connecticut. Love the show. Used to live in North Attleboro last year. Guess I moved just in time.
Wow.
Two questions.
Probably get a good deal on a home there.
That was Ty Warren's house before.
Yes.
It was what?
Ty Warren's
house. Ty Warren's home before her name.
With this being Brandon Spike's last season, do you think his performance last season and the lack of depth at his position warrant him a new contract? If you're going to tell me that Dane Fletcher can adequately replace him, then I see a very big downfall on defense next season.
Well, don't you think there's a chance that one of the other two moves inside and Jamie Collins takes over as a second-year player?
It could happen.
I would agree with the lack of faith in Fletcher being a suitable replacement, full-time replacement.
But I don't think anybody would even consider that.
I agree.
Emergency, yeah, something happens, but I think there's a good chance one of those two big outside guys is going to move inside. They're both versatile and...
And it's funny because Andy and I talked about this. Probably I think
Mayo.
Hightower and you think Mayo.
I would say Mayo.
I would say Mayo. Yeah. And if Collins is everything Paul thinks he can be, then...
Oh, you know, let's pump the brakes
a little
bit.
Collins on you. He's your guy.
Why?
If he's great, you'll win. If he's not, you'll lose.
I am intrigued by the athleticism. That is all.
That is all.
I don't know why you do this. Why do you have to use
I think the show is better when we are all aligned to, like, for or against people. Like, Roethlisberger is Eric's enemy. You know,
well,
it's better when we have
irrationality.
You know, it's better
best.
When I love Quinn and he whatever, which I got to look into because I saw
but
Pete
you
Prisco
really
tweet that the Rams may have the best front in football.
But you really love Quinn.
Yeah,
like no one's exaggerating
you love
that.
Collins.
You love, but that's not the same.
And
thing.
I never said they were going 6-10.
Oh, but actually,
that was the
actually,
record that you were most
yes,
yeah.
I was most associated with. I never said it.
You actually did say.
Well, you're most associated with Jamie Collins is the next great. Thing
all right,
at
let me ask.
Linebacker.
Let me
I've
ask you this.
Say that.
Shut up.
I've never heard him say that.
Thank you, thank you. But
you're
let me ask you this.
Propagate a myth here,
Fred. What about good radio?
Do I think that Brady stinks?
Good radio
in the postseason. Yes.
All right. But what I've actually said is
in the postseason he stinks.
He's been extremely inconsistent in the postseason since they last won the Super Bowl.
You believe every other game he's.
And you say now unequivocally. You think Paul thinks Brady stinks in the playoffs?
Well, except for that, he always finds
a
way to win everything.
But I can't deny that you say I'm sort of that's what I'm associated with. I've said that many times. That line of thinking. So even though you take it to a new level that of which I've never said, you're right. I never said anything of the sort about Jamie Collins, other than
really
I think
like
he's
him.
Athletic.
You bring him up a lot. You
I
like
think
him.
He's really athletic, and I'm intrigued about what Bill might be able to do with him.
Is he going
to
start next year?
Next year? I haven't even seen him play this year. You're asking me what he's going to do next year?
Second round pick.
Jermaine Cunningham, how many games has he started?
Joel also says, I've heard Andy
good
say
point. He's not a very, very good drafter.
Joel also says, I've heard Andy say numerous times that Shane Vereen is an up-and-coming superstar, and I just don't see it. I mean, do you think he should replace Ridley as the main back?
No.
See him as just a better Woodhead, but not much else.
Yes, but a better Woodhead can be very good. You can make a lot of impact plays. You can be a star in that role.
Yeah.
I mean, I think Darren Sproles was pretty close to a star
Kevin
for
Falk was
the Saints.
A star for this team in that role.
Yeah, I mean, no, he's not going to have 1,500 yards and go to every Pro Bowl. I'm saying a star in that he's going to be given credit as a key playmaker on an offense.
And as a point of comparison, just to piggyback on what Eric just said, I think Vereen can be better than Kevin Falk.
Me
yeah,
too.
I do too.
Certainly.
I think
he might be the best at that role if he can. You know.
Although, the thing that Kevin had, and maybe he didn't have it from day one, but it certainly developed. He was a smart football player.
I think Vereen would fall
into
that
category. But that's what I think put Kevin over the hump is his brain.
Vereen is certainly a smart guy. I don't know about football knowledge. He's a smart guy, man, human being.
Because I agree with Fred about Falk. That was his strength wasn't necessarily the athletic gifts, especially after
he lost it.
Well, after he broke his leg his rookie year, at the end of his rookie year, and I don't think he ever regained that explosiveness. That's because he was like lightning.
So he was. Do you think he never was what he could have been?
I don't think he ever was.
He could have been better than Bo Jackson.
They thought
ridiculous,
Andy, and maybe this was foolish.
Asinine
to think.
Comments like that is why no one takes you seriously.
But I remember
the
talking.
King of asinine comments.
Right. I don't know how we didn't just get struck dead after that comment. But I remember talking to Pete, Brian, and I.
Carol.
Yeah, that first year, he thought that Kevin Falk could be an every down back. He thought he could be the man in an offense.
And he told me Armin Armstead was going to be great too, and that's why he's overrated on my roster ranking.
Marshall writes.
He just has to dismiss everything. Everybody that anything anybody has to say about
Point
anything
blame,
is totally dismissed.
Yeah, everything.
Kevin Colbert does a fine job.
Yeah. Marshall says I would never belittle anything Welker did for the Pats, but will he be for Manning what he was for Brady?
I don't see why not. I think he can be. Yeah. I don't see why not.
He may not have to be. They have very good weapons around him.
He might not have to be.
They asked him the difference between Brady and Manning. He said comparing the two of them is like comparing Michelangelo and Picasso.
Is it Michelangelo?
Michelangelo. Buonarroti.
I don't know what that means.
That's his last name.
Did you finish the book yet?
No. I'm doing it a little at a time. I don't like to
He reads books like he paints pictures. Long time it takes.
It's a fast read thriller.
Yes, it is.
It's not like the regular book where you have to take notes in the margin.
No, but I like when I like a book like that.
Yeah.
I don't like to have it end so soon. I like.
Are you highlighting
it? No.
Oh, okay. That's just Reagan books.
I like to find out what happens.
Well, I do too, but I like to do it in increments. I don't like to. What's the new term today?
Delayed gratification.
No. The binge watching on television.
Yeah.
You know, like people like to buy episodes on DVD and just watch them all at once.
Watch the whole thing.
I kind of
like
7 hours
of Bar Rescue
a little
on
bit.
Sunday.
Of what?
Bar Rescue. You
what
ever
is that?
See that show? Oh,
no.
It's a great show.
What is this
guy?
Again, he doesn't have time for a new show, a new series, but he watched Bar Rescue for 7 hours.
Well, Mickey was sick, and we were just sitting around.
That's terrible TV.
No, this guy, he's like this bar.
Yeah, and they all drink and stuff.
Do you know what it is?
He comes in, and he,
it's not bad.
He takes a failing bar and like totally transforms it in 5 days. It's fascinating.
Well, he stole it from the other ones, the restaurants and the different. But aren't they like, a lot of times they'll be like drinking, like they'll take glass back that has a little something in it and they'll just down it. Like these waitresses and stuff. And it's amazing to see what people will do.
Yeah. Anyway.
So no, I'm taking it slowly. I like to stretch it out when I really like a book like that. I don't want it to end. So I purposely read it slower.
He treats his reading like he treats his love life. Slowly. Eventually, he's going to get to that goal.
Just there are other books.
I want it stated
book,
for the record that I was thinking exactly that, and I purposely didn't because I know I would have gotten the look from you that it hurts more coming from me. So
which
I
it
let
does.
It go.
Which it
so
does,
I let
Paul.
It go knowing full well
that's,
he would,
that's big
he would
of you,
come
Paul.
Through.
Thank you.
No one overstates the obvious like Andy Hart.
Yeah. That's my role on this show. You know, that's our role.
Slow your roll.
So,
Fred's role is to continue the show, and he's failing
it. How long
is
it going to take you to finish this book? Because I'd like to discuss it with you.
We will discuss it.
What? When? After the season?
No, I'll finish it during the season.
How close?
During the season? I finished
we're a month and a half away.
I'm only halfway through it.
Fastest read ever.
He writes, his chapters, as you know, are short. They're like 2 or 3 pages max, usually, or 5 pages. So I only read like 2
and how many
chapters
does he end up with when he's done?
You know, like 120 or something. He has like a
So I got a long way to go, is what you're telling me.
Well, if you write if you've been writing the chapters the way he does with the
you've read it, you know how short the chapters are.
Yeah.
Well, I read it on my iPad and I make the text as big as I can, and so it turned out to be like 2,200 pages.
Really?
Yeah, but you know you flip.
Yeah, you're
through,
flipping every 2 minutes. Yeah.
2 seconds
during the season.
I'll finish it. Don't worry.
It's
we'll talk about
it. It's a very
fast read. They're still in Florence.
Book and then go
they're
on
still
to the
in
next
Florence
week.
where I'm at right
hey,
now.
Hey, Kevin.
They're trying to get out of the
I saw Ted. You didn't destroy the ending for me. I didn't know what you said.
That's good.
Plus, it was the most obvious ending that it could be, so I didn't really understand how anybody could have been thrown off by that. I mean, you kind of knew where it was going the whole movie, right?
Right.
You saw it.
Well, you didn't know it was going to Fenway Park.
Yeah. No. But you knew how it was going to end is what I'm saying.
Speaking of that, they've marketed. I was at the ballpark last night, and there's this new wall.
You were at the ballpark?
I was.
That with Fenway Frank?
Yes, I did. It was National Hot Dog Day yesterday.
And
catch
sausages?
Dad out back. So I had to
cry.
I had to have one. I cried when they lost. But so they have this huge wall now that they're.
It's called the Green Monster.
No. Shut up, Andy. Shut up.
Now, wait a minute. Now that was funny.
But they have this huge
about 37
feet high. No. They have this huge wall of like all the movies that have been shot in the park.
Oh.
And I saw the
are there any that we don't really think of?
No.
Yeah, cuz let's see.
It seemed like they had the most photos from that stupid
Field of Dreams. Jimmy Fallon one.
What's the one with
Fever Pitch?
That's yeah.
The Jimmy Fallon
yeah.
one, right?
The Ben Affleck one.
Moneyball.
Moneyball was
right.
There. Yeah. They had scenes from Moneyball.
Did they have Rules of Attraction?
We've got The Rock. What was that movie?
The one I was in.
No.
There
was The Town, right?
Oh, The Town. Right. Yeah, oh, right. How could I forget about
that? That was a great movie.
That was the big scene.
The climactic scene takes place.
That was great.
Fenway.
He just ruined it for everybody.
But I was kind of...
Oh, really?
Oh.
There's a scene in Fenway Park.
Yeah. But I was kind of ticked, though, because...
well, yeah, it's at the end of the movie.
So it was National Hot Dog Day. So I go get a hot dog.
Hot dogs
and you got yourself a wiener, did you?
Hot dogs and sausages.
So you'll
hear
that
tomorrow,
by the way. No, yeah, well, I did. But so anyway.
We have your
Fred, you'll appreciate this.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of quirky. Because they used to have these little like condiment stands with like onions, like chopped up onions and all that stuff.
Right, sure. We know what's in the condiment
stand. No, but you know the tough economic times that there are. They took
cut
away
back
all
on the onions.
There's
no
like,
condiments?
No, there's just ketchup and mustard and that's it. There's no like onions.
I need
relish,
onions and
like,
relish.
All that stuff. It was gone.
That's terrible.
You
think that's because of the economy?
Well, I don't know.
All right. Anyway, go ahead.
No, I think he's done.
I was done.
That was the story.
That was the story. I was just it was one of the changes to
I'm glad we took 5 minutes off for the show to do that.
Sorry, Fred.
All right, that's okay, Kevin.
I'll let you do.
See, he's meaner than I am.
Cody's in Nova Scotia. Just wanted to speak my mind about last week's show. I never had a problem with Eric before, but after the show last Thursday, when he came off as an ass toward Brian, I am officially not a fan.
Toward Brian?
Wow. You have done the seemingly impossible.
Impossible. Someone hates you more than Brian.
You someone made Brian Morey a sympathetic
Brian
figure.
Brian Morey.
Oh, Brian Morey.
That's amazing that you were able to do
Brian that. Oh, I'm
thinking
Brian Lowe.
Right. No, you would never do that to Brian Lowe.
I am stunned and amazed.
No one likes Brian Morey.
No one.
You do? Dan does. Sorry, one person.
Dan.
Ben does not.
rethink that.
You don't want to
meet him. He actually walked in the other studio today. He was probably looking to pimp something
that's
in
right.
the museum.
No. He asked me to promote. They have a new exhibit over at the hall at Patriot Place.
The SI covers.
The covers? I think we've covered this.
I mean, this is how the fight started. See what you did there. This is how the whole fight started.
Right.
He came in to pimp the cover exhibit.
Right.
Then Eric
I was
kicked him.
His chops.
Eric kicked him out.
Well, it's open now. I think today it opened.
Covers open? It's uncovered?
Right. So it's all Patriot SI covers, right?
Patriots-related SI covers.
So it's pretty cool.
He also, I made him laugh a little bit. He's because there's also before they were Patriots. I don't know exactly who's in it, but some covers of people that and I goes, oh, so you got the Flutie one?
No.
I should have had that one, huh?
Yeah.
I was like,
it was like everybody, it was the typical thing that you get all excited about something, and then you're like, oh, so that's pretty cool. You have blank. No, we didn't have that.
No.
Oh, you have that?
No, we didn't have that.
And then I think he got mad.
And then Eric tried
to kick him off the show. And it was all kinds of tension.
Yeah, they almost had a nose fight.
It really wasn't.
There was.
No, there wasn't.
I think Brian has a different version of that.
Really?
He was mad.
He hates you.
Was he really?
Yep.
Well, I don't think he said he hated him.
I know, but you know,
but
I'm paraphrasing.
It's Andy that hates you.
Adam's true. Adam's in Dublin. He says, I sent
top of the morning.
There too, by
oh, yeah, see.
I sent in a question last week, but Brian and Eric's episode of verbals and then the discussion about the various forms of onesies, it clearly fell through the cracks. No problem, though, because I have a better question for you guys regarding Danny Amendola. Welker and Amendola both arrived at the Patriots with 4 seasons of football behind them. Welker had 1,121 yards receiving, 96 receptions, and a TD. Amendola has 1,726 yards, 196 receptions, and 7 TDs. Regardless of how injured Amendola has been in the past, he certainly made a big impact in the little time he has been on the field with a poor team in a division that I'd argue has been tougher than the AFC East, where Welker caught the eye for the Dolphins. My question is twofold. One, do you think just by looking at the stats that Amendola is capable of matching Welker's production?
Yes.
And two, history proves that he will miss time more than likely. But isn't it just a case of the Patriots aiming to manage his body through the season, maybe leave him out of a game here or there to ensure he's intact come postseason? Or am I being over-optimistic to believe Amendola will still be in one piece by Thanksgiving?
Well, I think if they leave him out of games, then he missed time.
Exactly, and production. Yeah. Amendola's injuries have nothing to do with wear and tear. They're, you know, sudden injury.
Acute.
Yeah, sudden injuries that happen on a play.
Obtuse.
It's not
Did
something
not
like,
right?
You know, he's got this, you know, degenerative thing of his hip or something like that. And like Paul just said, if you leave him out of games, you're missing the production.
And so, beyond even missing the production, like you have to think about it. It's like an extra level of game planning.
There's also some sort of funny business with the stats. The NFC West was not better than the AFC East throughout Amendola's time. Last year, the NFC West was a clearly better division than the AFC East.
Really?
But, I mean, San Francisco was terrible. St. Louis was terrible. And the fact that you're on a bad team should increase your production, not decrease it.
Welker had, like, went from one team to the other. Welker paved the road for Amendola to have a career. The league was not the same when Welker was starting out as the little white guy out of Texas Tech. As soon as he did what he did, I can tell you from the combine, every year there's this talk of slot receivers, the next Wes Welker, little white guy.
Said it this
so
year.
it was a different, I mean, in some ways, I don't want to like over dramatize it, but Welker was like a forefather to all these little pain in the butt slot receivers.
And Miami,
he created a value there.
And Miami was terrible when Welker was on it, but he had like Cleo Lemon throwing him passes, not Sam Bradford. So I understand the Rams were terrible, but they had the number one overall pick who can play. He's not a terrible bust. I know he's not probably as good as Andy thought he was going to be.
I'm pretty sure we can say he's not right now.
No, but I'm saying as you thought. But
right,
but he's pretty good.
No,
he's
I know
not terrible.
He's not as good because he was going to the Hall of Fame.
Certainly a lot better than anything.
He's been ruined by offensive coordinator year in and year out.
Certainly,
lack of stability on the offense.
With Josh McDaniels.
Lack of stability on the offense. When how much success has McDaniels had when he's away from Belichick?
I don't know. Found a way to do it. Found a way to do it with Brady
for what, like
and Castle.
Month? Oh, under Belichick's watchful eye.
Mario
and good half a year at Denver.
It's like me. I'm creative. I can get the job done when Fred kind of guides me in the right direction. No, if I ran my own newspaper, I'd be out of business in a week.
But even if you want to consider
Bradford, blood on the cover, boobies.
A lot better than the guys that Welker had throwing in the ball with Miami.
Mario in San Benito, Texas. I know there's a lot of news going on right now with Belichick's press conference yesterday and the start of camp tomorrow, but I wanted to see what your thoughts were about my question. I was listening to the show where Bilo was talking a lot, and he was discussing about how Brady has never had a season where he had nagging injuries that caused him to miss stretches of games.
This is the kind of football analysis you guys like?
But he didn't miss stretches of games. That part
true.
Is accurate.
This caused me to think of the following situation. Of course, God forbid any of this happening, but here goes. Say that Brady gets injured in the first game, and that injury knocks him out for 10 or 11 weeks.
I'm going to lunch for free.
The team loses.
I lose my bet.
The team loses that first game, but ends up going 9-1 the following 10 games with the backup quarterback, in this case, Mallett.
Then I pinch you and you wake up.
Yeah. For a 9-2 cumulative record.
Stop.
With this record, the team is in prime position for one of the top seeds. Brady is ready to go. To go by this point. However, Mallett is playing well, and the team responded well from the change of Brady to Mallett.
In other words, 2001 all over again.
What do each
all of a sudden,
of
Joe Theismann's taking practice reps.
What do each of you do at this point? Keep Mallett in there, or do you place Brady back in the starting lineup? Also, what would Belichick do in this situation? And one more thing. I'm not the one to care about pronunciation of words or names or whatnot, unlike certain people.
Eric.
But whereas grammar cop Eric has been on the mispronunciation of Hernandez's name, he has yet to correct any of you on the intended pronunciation. In Spanish, the H is silent, so the name should be pronounced Hernandez, not Hernandez. Andy, I hope you call him out for the fraud he is.
I never took Spanish.
You are a fraud.
That is
you
true.
Took Spanish,
still one of the
right?
romance languages. Yeah, but I'm not the a-hole that you are. In America, we call him Hernandez. And I'm in America. He's an American football player.
You speak American.
I speak American.
but back to the
that's an awesome Spanish. Email. That could be our ultimate debate of the future.
The Belichick angle of that, I think, is the most fascinating part. What would Belichick?
What would Belichick do?
I would go back to Brady.
It's a great email.
I would go back to Brady too, but I think his track record shows he would go with the younger gun.
Well,
there's a big difference though. You know, as much as I love my guy, Bledsoe was not playing well when he got hurt.
Right.
And then Brady came in and played well. Brady has played well, mm-hmm. got hurt, and then somebody else
playoffs.
Came in and played well. Well, it's not a playoff game.
Right.
It's only 90.
It's
only said 10
two,
games.
Right, yeah.
No, but you're going to need him in the playoffs. You're preparing for a playoff run.
But obviously,
so you got to go Mallett, the guy who can play in the playoffs.
Obviously, there's a difference between not playing well and being inconsistent, but that's okay. You don't seem to understand the difference.
So do we alter this little hypothetical and say he went 0-3 or 0-4 to start the season, and then Mallett comes in?
Oh, that's different.
Yeah. That would be if they were 0-4 and he got hurt, and then Mallett ran off 9 out of 10.
You still keep Mallett?
I think you got to keep Mallett in there.
Rodolfo.
You don't?
Boy, talk about history.
Wait a minute, you don't?
Himself,
I think it's hard.
Of course it's hard. It was hard when he had to do it the first time.
No, Drew wasn't that good in 0-0.
I know, but back then
we didn't know what Tom Brady was going to do.
And, oh, I know.
You know, for us, for New England, Drew Bledsoe was great. He was the franchise.
Yeah, but it's not about aura. It's about production.
Well,
and in the last, like, year and a half of Bledsoe, he wasn't that good.
You're giving me a month of Brady after he had a very good season a year ago.
But I'm saying
so. There's a major difference.
There is a difference. But what if?
And by the way, this month of crap, does this come from the change in all the receivers? Right. Does Brady struggle and then Brady goes down and Mallett, when the other guys are actually getting used to each other, Mallett comes in?
Well, I mean that's a bit of a.
There's some circumstances here. I'm sorry, I analyze it like a coach. Well, I'm not
a whooping
fan
defensive.
Like you guys.
No, you just get defensive and start yelling really fast and talking like the quick sentence. This isn't. You're always right.
You can't even do it.
Rodolfo from Mexico, long-time listener.
Wait, did we all weigh in?
Yeah, I bring Brady back.
Bring Brady back unless it's like a really uncommon circumstance.
More importantly,
Brady stinks for a month and a half.
Very, very obvious.
He would have, because I mean, he's 36. I mean, at some point, it's going to start going the other way. Maybe that's the indication. Like, if we're going to just throw in hypotheticals, Brady was terrible. Guys were open. He was just missing them. But he was taking the phantom sacks. He was feeling the ghosts and all that stuff for a month and a half. Mallett went in and lit it up.
Right.
Now I'm sticking with Mallett. Otherwise, I go back to Brady.
What does Bill do?
I think if we have all these qualifiers, it depends on what Bill. Right. I think Bill would stick with what he thought was right. And I think if you have Brady playing terribly for a month and a half, and then Mallett goes in and lights it up, I think he sticks with Mallett.
I think Bill wakes up and says, "Whew, thank God that was a dream."
Right.
No, but I mean, from Bill, he's thinking of the question they always ask us, the next quarterback, the heir apparent to Brady. You're getting close to that.
Yes.
And if Mallett proves something to you over more than a half a season, then you might say, well, I have my heir, and maybe it's time to move on.
Well, maybe, then you bring Brady back, you finish the season out, whatever happens, happens. And then next year, that going into the offseason, it's a whole different ballgame. Right. Now it's a competition for the starting
And you
job.
Maybe do what you did with Bledsoe in the offseason. But
trade him.
The specific email that says one game, Brady plays one game, and Mallett goes in and wins 9 out of 10, I go back to Brady.
Right. Rodolfo from Mexico. Come on, Eric. The book was released on a Tuesday, and I finished it by the weekend. This kind of book, you have to read them fast. Go ahead, Fred. Screw Eric and discuss the book. It'd be great. Discussing the Patriots in one of my favorite books. And P.S., I have an anecdote like the one of the guys who went to buy Dells. Last week, I went to pick up my dad from the airport, and as soon as we turned on the car radio, starts playing Roller Coaster of Love. And we couldn't leave the airport because I started to laugh uncontrollably, and my dad freaked out. And then I killed him.
Roller Coaster!
All right, well, that's going to be it for this
edition. One more
PSW
hour.
Progress. We got to get back to work.
Ben's
here.
Like, hell no, I'm out of here.
Really? You guys are going to do this?
Thanks for joining. Thanks. The Heffernans for
Heffernans
for buying us lunch.
That's from the king.
You guys have been embraced.
Once he butchers your name, that means you're in his heart.
And visiting us, I was going to say Heffernreffer, but that's all right. We'll see you on. See you next Tuesday.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.